4 a.m. Today's date is October 21st, 2019. Board's mission is to protect the health, welfare, and safety of the public who seek to use the services of nursing care institution administrators and assisted living facility managers. Pursuant to ARS 38431.02, notices hereby given to the members of the state of Arizona, Board of Examiners, and nursing care institution administrators and assisted living facility managers, otherwise known as board, and to the general public that the board will hold a regular monthly board meeting, which is open to the public today, October 21st, 2019, held at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007, and again, the time is 9:05 a.m. Persons with a reason, with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as sign language interpreter, by contacting Alan Emig at 602-364-2273, or through the Arizona Relay Service at 711. Please make your request as early as possible to allow time to arrange for the accommodation. Board's president reserves the right to change the order of the items listed on the agenda, except for matters scheduled at a specific time. The agenda is subject to change up to 24 hours prior to the meeting. Board members may be present by telephone. During the course of the meeting, the board, upon a majority vote of a quorum of members, may hold an executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney or on any matter listed on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38431.0383, and may hold an executive session on agenda items 4 through 10 for the purpose of discussion or consideration of confidential matter material pursuant to ARS 38431.0382. The executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is confidential. You must refer to the resident by their initials or by the word resident. Is there an issue with my mic? Okay. Items that are referenced as a consent agenda may be considered as a single action unless a board member removes a specific item for review, discussion, and action separately from the other consent agenda items. Board will review, discuss, and may take action on the following matters listed on the agenda for October 21st, 2019 regular board meeting is as follows. We've done our call to order. Alec, we can do a roll call, including a special roll call.
Okay. Member Villafranca?
Here.
Member Kidder?
Here.
Member Randolph?
Here.
Member Archer?
Here.
Member Campbell?
Here.
Member Siemens?
Here.
Member Lewis?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, if we could just take a moment of silence, and Al, I think you had something prepared.
Right, and this is former board member David Hasseltine, as you know, passed away. So just to kind of give you a little history on him, in 2005, he was appointed by Governor Napolitano and served a term through 2007 and then reappointed from 2007 to 2009. And he was off the board for about 4 years, and then Governor Brewer appointed him in 2013 and he has served until he passed away. So, long time of service.
So to his family, our thoughts and prayers, he will be deeply missed. Thank you. Okay, at this time, call to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board form so that the board is aware that they are here and that they want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on an issue to a reasonable number of persons. Pursuant to ARS 38431.02H, the board can discuss or take action only on matters that are listed on the agenda, or actions on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to directing staff to study the matter or to schedule the matter for further discussion at a future meeting. At this time, are there any individuals that wish to speak to the board that are not currently on the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move forward. Next, we have board review, consideration, and action on approval of minutes for September 16th, 2019 regular board meeting. I move that we approve.
Second.
Charles and Susan, all in favor of the motion, indicate by saying aye.
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 Motion carries.
Aye.
Do you need a roll call?
Do you want a roll call?
Yeah, since we have people on the telephone. Yes.
Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries. Next on the agenda is Board Review Consideration and Action on Proposed Consent Agreement.
The board's advisor is Beth Campbell.
Thank you, sir. Give council a moment to get set up. And it will be case number 18-226 involving Anixi Marias.
Yes, I can do it.
Representing Mike Donald. We'll give everyone a moment to get set up. Council ready to proceed?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, could you please identify yourself for the record, please? Both parties.
State first.
State first.
I, Sabrina Khan, Assistant Attorney General.
Lauren Arden.
You got that? Okay. Perfect. Is the state ready to proceed?
Yes. Thank you, members of the board. You know, we're here today to present a proposed consent agreement for the board's approval. Ms. Augustine, Ms. Margitas had, she was under a term of consent agreement and order. She failed to complete the terms of the consent agreement and order within the prescribed period of time. As such, as stated in the consent agreement, her certificate was expired. So she was expired during the time that she failed to complete the terms and conditions. However, she did successfully pass the nursing care administrators, NCIA board's final examination for assisted living facility managers. And she successfully passed that on October 3rd, 2019. That was after the time that she was supposed to complete the terms and conditions of the order, but however, she has complied. And during the time she was not in compliance, she was suspended from practicing as a manager. Therefore, this consent agreement before you is just for a civil penalty in the amount of $300, which Ms. Margitas has signed, and I believe that you have a copy of it. And so it's just for you for approval today.
Thank you. Counsel, I'm assuming that this is in agreement with your client?
Yes, it is.
Do you have anything that you'd like to add?
Yes, we'd like to reinstate her license.
Okay. She what?
Would like to reinstate her license. Her certification as manager. And she passed the exam, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Counsel, do you have anything further?
I do not.
I will make a motion that we accept the consent agreement.
Second.
Yeah, Charles, Ken, our roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
No.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
And President Villafranca, so this proposed consent agreement is just for her late compliance. If she wants to reinstate or reapply, she would have to then fill out an application. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Okay. I'm assuming that's understood.
That is understood.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Alan, I think
that's on here.
Yeah, yes, thanks, Ben.
Okay, next next on the agenda is complaint case items, and the rest is confidential information. Public session, board members, staff, and the licensee shall refer to the resident as resident or use the resident initials. First on the agenda is consent agenda to not open. To not open a complaint investigation on facility manager that is related to an ADHS enforcement action, items 3A through 21. Are there any that the board members would like to remove and review, or?
There's one. So the numbers are what, 3 through 21, did you say?
That's correct, 3 through 21.
Okay. I saw the villas at La Cunada, are they in use?
Yeah.
Number 20. I would like to pull that out of this, I think, when I looked at this thing. You might want to hear this going forward, so I'm sure.
Okay.
Other than that, I'll find with the rest.
All right, I'll make a motion to not open a complaint investigation on items number 3 through 19, and also 21.
I'll second.
I'll second.
Ken and Fred, Mel, Fred beat you to it. Okay, roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries, and so direct board staff to really look at number 20 and do the investigation. Appreciate it. Move on to item B, complaint cases. First on the agenda is 19-77 involving Edwin Valderrama. Right here, sir. Good morning.
Morning.
Okay.
Yes, complaint 19-77. The licensee is Edwin Valderrama, who is present here today. The complainant is Emmy Sarmiento. Sarmiento was invited to today's meeting. I'm not sure what she said. No,
I'm sorry, is Ms. Sarmiento present? Perfect. You want to come up? Okay, Phil, thanks.
So on May 30th, 2019, staff initiated this complaint investigation after receiving a letter of complaint via the board's portal from Ms. Emmy Sarmiento, the owner of Santo Vino Villas 3 assisted living home located in Gilbert. Her allegations included that on approximately April 24th of 2019, Mr. Valderrama entered the facility to update his wife's CEUs, even though she was no longer the facility manager. Mr. Valderrama accessed multiple file folders and documents of residents' medical records, social security, personal information, and business information records without Ms. Sarmiento's permission. Mr. Valderrama took notes, took photographs of files on the dining table, and business certificates and documents posted on the wall, and Mr. Valderrama deleted his entry and exit times on the visitor's logbook. Mr. Valderrama was notified of the complaint. He did provide a response to the allegations, and both Mr. Valderrama and Ms. Sarmiento were here to discuss the matter.
Perfect. Thank you so much, and I would like to advise the board, the Attorney General's office, that I do know Ms. Sarmiento outside of this board, my wife and her friends. However, I have zero intimate knowledge of this case, and I'm not affiliated with Ms. Sarmiento in any way.
And your wife's not lobbying you, right?
Absolutely not. I refuse to discuss any matters that are before this board with anybody other than the board members at the board meeting.
There you go, Ben. Got you on record.
Okay. So let's start with Mr. Valderrama first. Mr. Valderrama, I read your response. You were there at the facility. You signed in at the facility. It is your knowledge that that's the facility's policy that visitors sign in?
Yes.
Did you scratch your name off of the sign-in log?
I scratched my name on the entry when on my way out because I know that my presence there is recorded on the CCTV. Plus, I didn't spoke also. I was on the telephone conversation while I was there with Mr.
And were you taking photos as alleged?
I took three photographs. One is the list of the employee because I tend to forget the name so that I have a reference of those that I endorsed the CEO and I have it to name. The second, photos are in the presence of the with the caregiver because we need to get inside the printer machine, which happens to be inside one of the residence bedroom. So I took a photo to make sure that I'm with the caregiver, that I didn't get into any residence room.
And was a resident photographed at any time during this?
No, no.
Were you the manager of records for this facility?
For this facility, no. My main...
It was just a yes or no?
No, I was not.
You were not? And so you thought that it would be okay to take pictures of employee files or employee records or schedules or names of employees if you're not affiliated with that facility as a manager?
May I just rephrase that I only took a photo of the displayed name of the staff so I would remember whom I talked with.
That's all the questions I had.
So may I make a question?
Mm-hmm.
So why were you at the facility at all?
Sorry.
Why were you at the facility at all?
I was at the facility on April 24th.
Why?
What? My intention was, thank you. I am as a licensed manager, my wife and I both work and previously employed by Amy Sarmiento. And we always have a high interest of making sure that our license are maintained in good standing and also attain zero deficiency. So part of my main intention was to bring the CEO record of my wife, whom have just previously become a manager of that home. I was also her employee on another home.
Were you hanging your license or your wife's license at that time? Or either one of your license hanging in that facility?
On the day in
question. On the day of that inquiry, none of our license were hanged.
Okay.
With the only intention of submitting the CEO record for my wife because she's upcoming to serve in July. Or June of July. That's the main intention of mine.
Thank you.
So what could you possibly need in that facility for your wife's CEUs?
Oh, well, it's not that I took. I brought a copy of my wife's CEU so that when she has the annual survey, we have a complete record. Because our intention is we don't want to have a incomplete document that would affect our license.
Can you explain to me what CEUs a state surveyor is looking for a manager?
For a manager?
It would be this board that's looking for the CEUs, not the state.
Okay.
So I go back questioning your intent.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So that's my concern.
As a manager, every year we have to accumulate 24 CEUs. During the survey of records that day, there has to be documentation at the home that the manager or prior manager within a year or a couple of years, when you look at the record, has evidence of completion CEU.
You need to read this board's rules. Because DHS only looks to see if the license is current available.
Yes.
We count the CEUs.
Yeah. This board is not one.
I agree with the president. I don't. If you're a license manager, as an example, I'm a license administrator. Before I would go into Mr. Kidder's facility, even to say hi, I would let them know that I'm entering his facility. For you just to go in because you're a manager, in the facility that you used to manage, you went to documents, you were very close to a HIPAA violation because you were very close to the resident records, which you have no right to. I'm puzzled by the whole thing, Mr. President.
Can I add, though?
Yes, ma'am.
DHS does look in personnel files for the manager's CEUs ongoing, believe it or not. They want to see them as they accumulate over our two-year renewal.
But she's not in.
So that's just phase one. They do. I'm not saying that that was the proper action for him, but at the home level, they do look for those to make sure that the manager is doing what they're supposed to be doing. They look for them.
Is that a regulation? Because technically, they only survey.
No, it's not a regulation. There's no specified, you count, but it's your policy. So if you say, you know, annually I'm going to have 20 CEUs completed, then the surveyor per your policy will see if you have indeed completed about 20 CEUs, but that's how that kind of.
Right, and Nina, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that there's a mandate on that policy to be in your facility.
There is not.
Not current, no.
And let's say that is a legitimate concern. Why didn't he go to the manager of record and say, could you help me with this?
Or why scratch your name off of a legal document that you know has to be done to know who's in the facility at any given point as a manager?
I think I would like to hear from her and find out what is your estimation of why do you believe he came into your home?
I don't really understand why he came to my facility without knowing or without texting me or without letting me know that he's coming. And the first thing that I thought that he's not my manager, his wife is not managing in the facility, and he just came to the facility. Unauthorized access of all my files, taking photos, and I have a video. I have a CCTV video that he's there. He was there looking everything in the facility. And he took photos.
Did you give him permission to look at the documentation?
What's that?
Did you give him permission to look at documentation?
No.
Did you ask him to leave the home?
Yes.
Okay. Did he leave the home when you asked him?
No. Because I wasn't in that facility before. I was out. And I spoke to him, what are you doing in my facility? And he said, I'm just going to update my wife, CEUs, and she's not even my manager in the facility. I don't understand why he there. What is he doing?
I mean.
And I have the video.
So other than to update your wife's CEUs, which
Not my manager in the facility anyway.
You're not the manager there anymore. And so you went in to do something that isn't necessary. Was there another purpose for you being there?
No, ma'am. If I may, when I came in here, the caregiver told me that the file for my wife or I could add in the CEU is on the shelf. And I spoke to Ms. Amy Sarmiento while I was there so that I could file in document. That's the main purpose of my visit. And when she told me, you just have to make photocopy and then leave it there to the caregiver. And that's exactly what I did. And I went out. I did not stay or prolong my stay because I have no other reason to be there. And I did ask for her, I did express my apology because I didn't inform her beforehand that I did came to the home. And I expressed that was the only intent of my visit.
So other than the picture you took from the wall, what else were you taking pictures of?
I had three pictures that I took. The picture on the wall of the activity and the list of the staff.
Oh, the staff.
Because I can remember the name of the caregiver that accompanied me throughout while I was there.
Why would you need a list of employees for your wife's CEUs?
Oh.
Make me some reasonable connection why that would make any sense at all.
I always tend to forget things. I tend to forget names, so I decided to take a picture of
why do you need right? Why do you need an employee's name for your wife's CEU?
Not for the purpose of my wife's CEU, but it was for my purpose so I could remember the name. That's why I took the in the picture of the sign.
You took a picture of information that you were not privileged to.
Yes.
I'm ready to make a motion here. I think that we have unprofessional conduct, and I'm looking at R433-407B1. Engaging in unprofessional conduct is defined in ARS 36-446. Also, R433-407B10, engaging in any conduct or practice contrary to recognized community standards or ethics on an assisted living manager. And I think that he violated professional ethics in going into somebody else's facility without permission, obtaining information without permission, and then not leaving the facility when asked.
Second.
Absolutely. Okay, based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07B3, ARS 44610, R433-407B1 and B10 for unprofessional conduct, and complaint number 19-77 involving manager Edwin Valorama, and the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met; probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months; reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $500; 3 hours of continuing education with executive director's peer approval required, and document completion in each of the following areas: ethics, 3 hours of ethics. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Ken and Fred, now roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis? Member Lewis?
Aye.
Okay.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you for being here.
How much was that?
Next up on the agenda is 19-86. Complaint case involving manager Cody Kohler. Okay, so whenever you're ready, you can outline the case for us, please.
Case and complaint 19-86, licensee Cody Kohler, who's present here today. And on February 26, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Doctor's Choice Assisted Living located in Mesa. Compliance inspection identified 16 issues in 4 different areas. Ms. Fuller was a notice of the complaint, and she did provide a response. It is noted that in Ms. Fuller's response, she expressed a concern with the lack of communication she was having with the owner of the facility, and that the owner was the one that was hiring and firing the employees. And on approximately May 30th, 2019, DHS took enforcement action. They imposed a civil money penalty of $1,500 for 4 substantiated violations. 2 of the violations were repeats. And Ms. Fuller is here today to discuss the compliance inspection.
Thank you so much. Ms. Fuller, can you tell me when you started as the manager of this property?
September of 2017.
So both of these surveys would have been on your life, on your manager certification?
Correct. 2 different owners too.
How many residents?
Between 10 and 15.
How many were there at the time of the survey?
I believe there was 13.
And were you present for the survey?
I made it to the end of the survey.
To the end of the survey. How many homes do you manage?
Just 1.
Just one? So what was so pressing that you weren't there for the survey?
I actually had a root canal that morning.
Okay, that's pressing.
That's pressing.
Okay. And so, why the repeat deficiencies? These are pretty much employee requirements.
Okay.
Are the repeat deficiencies. So why the repeat deficiencies?
Something that was kind of out of my hand. I have actually made copies of text messages between me and the owners and employees where I've made various attempts to get all the necessary information, TB tests and employment verification, and there just was lack of, they just wouldn't provide it for me, or the owner wouldn't press the issue or fire somebody or do disciplinary actions, and it just was to a point where it was out of my hands.
So who was managing the property, you or the owner?
I was managing it.
So did you not remove individuals from the schedule?
I had, yeah, but then I'd come back the next, like if I let him go over the weekend, I'd come back on Monday and he'd have him there working again. It was just a complete constant battle.
So
and
then
I have I put these off for you guys too to read. I have tons of text messages where it's like, I let this person go, or why are they back here? I've asked for this information. I have the messages between the caregivers' information that I'm asking for.
So I understand that you can have conflict between the owner and the manager, but ultimately it's your responsibility, right? So if you're having issues with the manager of the group home, what else could you have done?
Quit my job. And it actually came down to that I don't manage that facility no more because I've had tons of promises. Like I have here from the owner with promises that things are gonna get better, the communication's better, and it just got to a point where it just wasn't. It was just failed promises, so I'm no longer managing that facility.
Did you say you were there through the change of ownership?
Two of them, yeah.
Yes. And why did you stay during those, because that's a tumultuous time.
I came in, when I first started, I came in, they were doing a change of ownership, and they needed a manager to help get everything together, so I walked into a mess, a big mess. So, I mean, the first survey I had, I did my best at that one. And the second time, the owner, made a lot of promises. Things are gonna get better. We're gonna have like electronic systems to keep the paperwork up to date, and we're gonna be behind you on this. And it just was not what they painted it up to be.
And why you have quit now?
Yeah.
What kept you there?
With the hope that they were, you know, that we were gonna get communication and that they were gonna stand by me. I mean, I grew attached to the residents that I had there, so I didn't, that's a lot of why I didn't leave right away, because I'm very attached to my residents there. However, once it came down to this part where it's like, okay, now you're gonna really get in trouble because nobody's doing anything, it was really hard to get here. And I can't do that. So that's why I ended up leaving.
So you're very attached to the residents, yet there's issues with fingerprint clearance cards, and you don't know if these people's committed a felony that are around your residence that you're very attached to. If you're having that much conflict between you and the owner.
I can say some of the deficiencies were, fingerprint clearance card. It was there previously, I had seen it previously. So it wasn't like a lack of, they don't have this at all. I had seen it previously. It just, during the survey, one of the people's complete employee file went missing.
Okay. How much time did you spend at the home?
I was there just a week, 8 to 10 hours a day.
She didn't hear, in her response, she said approximately 27 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
So a little over half time. Do you feel like that, looking back now, that was sufficient time? Had you been there full time, would you have discovered these anomalies in the employee records and had better control over staffing?
No, it was out of my hands, really. I mean, I knew who the employees were. I know what they were missing. I went through employee files all the time. Like I said, I have these messages here that says, like, I need this, this is expired. I have rosters of expiration dates on TB texts and fingerprint clearance. So it wasn't a lack of knowing what I needed, it was just a lack of them providing it to me or my the administration, the owner standing behind me and helping me get this information.
So were they not allowing you to file your own fingerprint applications for your people?
I'm sorry, can you say that?
Were they not allowing you to do things like filing, you know, if you needed a fingerprint application card for somebody, then could you have filed it on your own?
Yeah, no, it wasn't so much that. If they came in, let's say, okay, we were missing the employee file for one person was one of the deficiencies. I messaged that caregiver and told them, where is your employee file? It was here, it's missing. They never responded. So when we got the deficiency to do the POC, even during POC, about messaging caregivers and owners, we need this for our upon a correction. We need this, this is expired, we need this. They wouldn't give it to me. So I actually let go one of the caregivers, and like I said, that following week, the owner had rehired them because they would come to work. It didn't matter to the owner.
So the
that these things were expired.
So I get that you have issues with the owner. That's mm-hmm. clear. But the disaster plan, how you're going to handle a disaster in your building, requires your signature how often?
Once a year.
And so why wasn't the disaster plan even signed once a year?
That would be my fault.
Are you managing someplace down?
I do have one.
Is it a home or a center?
It's a home.
It's a home.
5 residents.
What have you learned from this?
I've actually made like a whole computer system, actually. I made a program where as soon as I sign any of my paperwork, it's uploaded into a system, and there's alarms that just go off on my phone or on the computer that I'm at. This shows like the timelines for everything, just to help as a reminder, because there is a lot.
And so you're managing a home right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if those timelines go off and you're having issues with the owner, what will you do?
I'm not going to go through that again. I can't. Find a different job.
Is the facility you manage now, you live in Mesa, is that correct?
I live in Globe now.
You live in Globe.
Mm-hmm.
Is the facility you manage in Globe?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Do you have staffing?
It's about 0.5 miles away from my house. It's not, it's like right around the block.
And you have a sufficient number of caregivers to
yeah.
meet your needs?
We okay. have three.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the board's feel on this case?
I think she's tried hard. With the situation that I happen to know about, is it's been a rough couple of years for that facility. I hear the frustration of what should you have done differently.
But I know that you say you know about.
I mean, I know that this has changed hands. This previous manager has sat before us, the previous owner.
Okay, just want to make sure.
These people, this is my backyard. So I am aware of what happens. I don't know this case personally. I think, unfortunately, that she made the decision too late, but I think I admire, under the gun that we're all under, that she stuck around to try her best to protect the residents as best she could. And when you have a corporate person, owner, who sidesteps everything you try to do, it becomes a real challenge.
That does resonate with me a little bit. We've had administrators in front of this board at one time or another. And on occasion, we're looking at the deficiencies and we ask the administrator, did you have enough staff? And he said, no, the budget wouldn't allow it.
Right.
And I've seen the board, way back, the board said, well, you should have taken your license down. Well, and the administrator would say, yeah, well, then who's going to work? Given this company, who's going to give the residents any kind of protection at all? Mm-hmm. And at times that's made sense to us.
And you know,
that's sort of what we're hearing now in a way, I think.
I do hear that. My concern would be, while those things may be outside of your control, which I fully understand, there were several things that were within the control. And signing a disaster book, ensuring that the disaster plan is ready and current, that's fully within the control.
That's straightforward and easy to do. We
right.
need the corporate assistance.
That's correct. That's something a manager can do unilaterally. You do not need the help of the owner on that.
And again, agree. Being boots on the ground when you're the manager of a small place, this is a small center, not a home. This is 20, what's that?
20.
20 licensed beds. My guess is, well, they tend to be doing everything, should have been done. Were the drills up to date? The various evacuation and,
yeah,
and such? So that part was being done, the follow through of whether those were all effective. And
are you
it was
thinking
not.
Letter of concern, or are you thinking additional concern?
For me, a letter of concern.
I thought if letter of concern about something like the manager failed to ensure proper maintenance of personal records.
That's good.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I think that's good too.
Okay. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation of complaint number 19-86 against manager Cody Fuller, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is that the manager failed to ensure proper maintenance of personnel records.
Second. Ken and Fred, Al, roll call in here a moment.
Can you repeat the concern again? Manager failed to ensure.
Manager failed to ensure proper maintenance of personnel records.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Next on the case log is case number 19-89 involving manager Anthony Aptar.
Okay, this is complaint 19-89. The licensee is Anthony Aptar, who is present here today. And on February 21st of 2019, DHS conducted two assisted living facility complaint investigations at Aptar's assisted living home located in Tucson. The investigations identified 7 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Mr. Aptar was notified of the complaint, and he did provide a written response. On approximately May 6th of 2019, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for one substantiated violation, and Mr. Aptar is here today to discuss the complaint investigations with the board.
Thank you so much. Was there a reason why I didn't get the full upload?
I sent you an email with the...
Oh
yeah.
I saw the attached.
Yeah.
I saw the attached. How big is the facility?
This is for 9.
9. How often are you there?
At the period that this incident happened, I was there maybe about more than 40 hours a week.
Not maybe about.
I'm there every day.
Every day?
Yes.
8 hours a day? 5 hours a day?
About 8 hours a day.
About. So, a lot of your stuff was dealing with resident agreements and administration service plans. Can you explain to the board what you're doing to ensure that this doesn't happen again?
So with the service plans, I had a situation where a few of the family members were not in town. And about 5 of the resident families were out of town. So we emailed it to them and we don't get it back. So when the survey came, it was not signed by the family members. So when we talked about it, he gave me a technical assistance as to how we can do it, document anytime we communicate with the family and they don't sign it and get it back. And that's what we've been doing now. The family members that are not physically in Tucson, I email it and keep record of me emailing it and then keep that track.
So what about the resident? Do you allow the resident to sign?
It depends on the resident. If the resident have their POAs, and if the resident has a POA, we don't let the resident. It depends on the cognitive level of the resident who we have at home. If the resident is a demented resident and have a POA, it's a POA that has to sign it. That is the the representative of the resident. I mean, it's not good having a resident who is not cognitive enough to be signing a care plan or a service plan. I mean, it would be like.
What about your residency agreement? You got an issue with your residency agreement?
The residency agreement was it not signed? Was that the issue?
Yeah, there was no residency agreement for I believe one of your residents. So how is that?
Oh, okay. So there was a residency agreement. The resident in question, when the resident was placed by the hospital to my home, we had no representative at all. I probably went like maybe 6-7 months without a rep involved. We were dealing with the fiduciary at that time. We didn't get any form of payment. So I think in the fourth year of his stay with us, we're a new home at that time, so we're doing what we could do to keep going. And then the fiduciary came in place. I provided a residency agreement to the state at a later time because the resident had passed when the state surveyor came. But I think it took longer for them to get a residency agreement for me.
So he was there for 4 years with no residency agreement?
No, we had it. The surveyor did not receive the residency agreement for me on time, but when he came to visit us, we did not have that record in the home at that time. I had moved it to my main office at Stone. So when he requested for it, I emailed everything to them and he said he never got it, which was said. And I said, I have my copy and I have their copy. So I sent it to them. I did send the residency agreement to them at that time. But it took longer than the 2 hours they gave me. And at that time, I was dealing with a gout on my foot at that time. So I told them that I was in the hospital and I'm sorry for delaying it, but they still cited me.
Okay. What about your, who's designated to act in your authority when you're not there?
I had a lady at that time that was the one to work on my behalf, but he didn't have any control of having that archived material. They were not at the home. I moved them to my Stone office. Any material that I archive, I send them to my main office, which is not at the facility. And on record, that is where the state know I keep those kind of records.
Perfect, but that has to be displayed in a conspicuous posting spot for the public to see when they walk in.
You mean a resident agreement?
No, I'm talking about your who's delegated.
Oh yeah, that is, oh that, okay. So that issue, the caregiver on the shift when the Soviet came had just been hired, and that was my mistake. I had not updated the designated list that I have on the wall, but I did have a file and everything for him to see. He was just not happy about the fact that I have not listed his name on the thing. So I just took it and I wrote it right away when he was there. But that was absolutely my fault. And that was the week that I was dealing with a gout on my foot at that time. So
in your personnel packet, is there a place where the person accepts delegation? Do they say, sure, I'll take responsibility when you're not here?
Yes.
Is there a place that's there?
Yes.
So you just haven't put it on the wall?
Yes. And I did show Seth that day when he came. I just didn't have it on the wall. I had not typed it up. So.
But you know now it has to be on the wall, period.
Yes, I do.
Even handwritten, it's got to be hanging.
I know that.
Okay.
That was just an oversight on my part. I take responsibility for it. But now it's been updated and I make sure I update that as soon as I hire a new person that is.
And are all your records now in-house?
Yes.
At the facility?
Yes.
After
this situation,
someone walks in for another inspection, they'll have them there and they won't have to call you and tell you to bring them over in 2 hours or something?
Yes, we have that system in place. I actually have a little laptop for them now to access some records that are so old. Because we scanned them in for them to have it.
So these, what was missing were records of people who were from the past?
Yeah, the resident in question had, it was a deceased resident. That.
Oh, I see. And so for the 5 years of storage, you took it off site?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, it wasn't 5 years of storage. I just took it off site because it's a small facility and I didn't have much room. And my office was right there, so
Do you use electronic records or do you use?
Now I use electronic. I've scanned after I had this situation. I scanned every record, even Kaplan's mind, everything. I scanned them and have it readily available on the laptop at home.
So for your medication administration, is that still?
No, we do it manually. But when the months roll over, the previous month will be scanned and we have it there. So, and
do you review those documents? And if you do, how often do you review those documents?
I try to do it at least once a month, and at the end of the month, before I file them away, I look at them.
Before you file away at the end of the month, you review the?
I review the progress notes, ADLs, and the amount, as to making sure that, because you update them. There will be changes, DC orders, and all that. Mm-hmm. So to move from, let's say, March to the next month, I check what has been DC'd, and then also look at the notes of the residents and stuff like that.
So what's your understanding on a resident record as it relates to a medication administration record or orders? If something's not documented, it's not signed that it's done, does it mean that it's done or not done?
It's not done, okay. Yeah.
Which draws me to my question about a meal for a resident not being provided on several occasions. Can you explain that one?
Yeah, so the resident in question was a resident that had lived with us for a while, and the fiduciary requested for a one-on-one care. So we had primary care in place and we had hospice in place. My staff were under understanding that while the private person was there taking care of him, they shouldn't be noting what is going on. So the absence of not documenting the intake of meals was a miscommunication between my staff and what a private person was doing at a period of time of the care. And I did explain that to the state, but they were not happy about it.
Did the resident get fed eventually?
Yes, he was eating. And there are actually videos of when my staff, because we're all concerned about his intake. So the fiduciary was out of town. So when we are feeding him and showing that he's doing okay, we videotaped it, and there are pictures of that. So the resident was fed. But when the private person was on duty, my staff did not document the intake and the percentages of fluid because they thought it was a private caregiver in place.
Where was the resident fed?
In his room.
And do you have consent to video in his room?
Well, interesting question. Yes, the POA, which is the fiduciary at that time, wanted to see that. So I emailed that to him to see how Herman was doing. Sorry, not to bring the resident's name up, but yeah, we did have consent.
Have you done any changes so that these same incidences do not occur again on your next survey? And if so, what changes have you made?
Pretty much during CEUs, most of the things that I am here for today is just things that we as a team working in the house, we can just all get better at. So every Friday, I meet with the staff to read through notes and see what we are not doing right and go over them. For instance, there is one of the things in my POC was hospice coming and doing their thing and we not being told what is done. And then we're held responsible for things that hospice says they've done and we just go ahead and chat it.
So you changed from doing it monthly to weekly now?
We do weekly meetings.
Okay.
Yes.
And is the residency agreement part of your admission packet?
Yes.
Will you accept a resident without it?
No.
What assurance can you give the board that we won't see you here on your next survey?
To do my best, really. To just make sure that I'm full. At this point, you know, I've been a manager for about 18 years or so, and I feel like I was a little bit outdated, and I'm now in school again. You guys asked me to. So I'm studying some new rules that
I remember.
So I think I'm more equipped now, and I just have to get better.
You can also answer by saying you won't be back because coming in front of this board is a miserable experience.
I know. I don't like it at all. I try
That's
to
a good reason.
We won't take it personal.
No, we won't take it personal.
So what's the board's feel on this? Letter of concern for not managing proper records?
Not too exercised over.
Not too exercised over, okay.
Not too.
Perfect, then I'm ready to make a motion if you have nothing further from any of the board. I'll move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation of this complaint number 19-89 against manager Anthony Aptor.
I'll second that.
Charles and Fred, now roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Perfect, motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Appreciate it.
How about the board take a 10-minute recess? This is 10:16 a.m. Board's back in session. Next up on the agenda is complaint case number 19-45 involving manager Ramona Johnson. Is Ramona not present? Okay. How about case number 19-98, Daniela DeVoca? Perfect. Let's take that one. And we'll come back. Sorry, Phil, I see the confusion. I skipped number 25. We'll come back to it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, this is complaint 19-98. Licensee is Daniela DeCova, who's present here today. On April 8, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Agape Senior Living of Scottsdale, located in Scottsdale. Compliance inspection identified 6 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. DeCova was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. It was on approximately June 4th, 2019, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 3 substantiated violations. And Mr. Cobra is here today to discuss the matter with the board and explain the situation concerning the deficiencies.
Okay. Thank you for being here today. Most of your items are surrounding personnel records and items needed for personnel. Who does your hiring in your facility?
I do.
You do. How long have you been there?
In this facility since 2012.
2012? And how many residents are there?
At the time of the survey or right now?
At the time of the survey.
I believe 9.
And you're licensed for?
10.
10? How many hours a day are you there?
I would say 10, 12 every single day.
Okay. So can you explain what happened with your personnel records and the fingerprint cards that's part of personnel records, the CPR that's part of the personnel records? What happened?
With the CPR, yeah, you have presented. I have system, I had one system which apparently didn't work, but I have all the caregivers with the date of the expiration of the CPR post date. We work on the TV desk. Every meeting with the caregivers, I keep reminding. This particular caregiver, she gave me her CPR post aid, and it appears she didn't do demonstration. She told me she did. She didn't. And with the fingerprint card, she was reminded her fingerprint card expired on March 20th, and by now she applied because she gave me the yellow page that is for the employee. It was my mistake. I didn't follow up. During the survey, I called her to ask if she received the fingerprint card, and she said I had to redo it because the fingerprint, they were not clear. So she received her fingerprint card, and she was a caregiver for more than 20 years. It was my mistake. I didn't follow up, and I should have. Now I have a different system, so it reminds me because at the end of the day, it's my responsibility, and I had to keep them accountable. So
okay.
The new system works.
Did her fingerprint card expire while she was still working for you?
Yes. She was waiting for her new. She renewed it. But I didn't follow up. the fingerprint that was sent to DPS, they will not be, so she had to read you the fingerprints.
It's actually not even required.
She has her fingerprint card. And in the meantime, no resident was hired.
Would they still, if they're still with the same employer, not required?
So what are you doing differently now? Your old system didn't work. What are you doing differently now? And what did you learn from this experience?
What did I learn? $1,000, fine, I learned a lot. The other thing is I don't want to, you guys, I promise you I'm not gonna see me ever again for the same matter. I'm not gonna humiliate myself again for fingerprint or personal record. But the new system, I remind myself, at the end of the day, I don't have to babysit the caregivers, but it's my responsibility. So I have a reminder, and every meeting we keep talking, we have two facilities. In both facilities, we talk about the mistake from both.
And what do you do if you remind them and they still don't?
Oh, I remind myself. She did it, she applied, but.
But what would you do if you said, oh, your CPR is.
Okay, call the schedule. I'm not gonna do anything differently. I'm good.
You're good? Fred? Think she learned her lesson? She's got systems in place. So I will make a motion. I will move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation of dismiss complaint number 19-98 against manager Daniela DeVolga.
Second.
And roll call, we got Charles and Susan.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You can come back just to get CEUs, but not, you know, for 3 hours.
I made a mistake. I'm owning it. I went out of sequence. Let's go back to line item 25, complaint number 19-32 involving manager Mon Grace Fernandez.
I move and dismiss the complaint against Charles.
Oh, thank you. I love you, I love you. Good morning, thank you for being here. Phil, if you could outline the case for us, please.
Okay, this is complaint 19-32. The licensee is Mon Grace Fernandez, who's present here today. And on November 13th, 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living complaint investigation at assisted living at Bloomfield Manor located in Scottsdale. The complaint investigation identified 7 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Ms. Fernandez was notified of the complaint and she did provide a written response. It is noted that she was not the manager at the time of the survey. She had left the facility approximately 2 months prior. And on December 27, 2018, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $250 for one substantiated violation. And Ms. Fernandez is here today to discuss the complaint investigation of the board and her timeline.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Fernandez, when were you hired to be a manager of record?
To the Bloomfield, I think it was August 2017.
And when did you leave as the manager?
I filed my resignation in July and they gave me my last paycheck on August 15th.
Were you there in August?
I'm not there anymore, but they still have my license.
When was your last day?
I think it was the month of July.
What year?
2018.
Okay.
But your license was hanging when they did the survey?
Not anymore. I took my license.
No, no.
No, the day of the survey, the day the surveyor came, was your license hanging on the wall?
Not anymore.
The survey was in December of 2018, right? No.
It's no
Okay.
She left in September, survey was in November. Chances are the deficiencies occurred while she was back.
Did you notify this board that you were not the licensee of record?
I got a letter from the...
No, just only the question that is asked, specific words. Did you notify this board that your license was not hanging?
No, but I answered the...
What do the regulations say?
I answered the email from the investigator, and I got this mail that I have to be here on this board meeting.
Don't our regulations say that when you take your license up or down, that you notify this board?
No, it's my fault.
Okay, thank you very much.
So your main issue that brought you here was a resident didn't have on their service plan documented description of their medical and health problems. Do you know when that resident was admitted to your facility?
I really didn't even know about this complaint. I tried to contact the owner of the house when I got a letter from the investigator, but I got no answer even up to this today. I'm trying to call them, but I got no answer from them. And I'm trying to avoid to go there without their permission inside their home to see what's going on. That's why.
Do you manage a home now?
Yes, ma'am.
And where is that home located?
It's in Gibson Lane. It's in Phoenix.
In Phoenix.
Have you notified this board that your license is at that facility?
Yes, I do. And I applied for a duplicate certificate, so and they sent it to me. I'm managing two homes now.
Are you utilizing a quality meeting or continuous quality improvement within those two homes?
I usually come every 2 weeks in the home to check with the managers who is really managing the homes. I'm trying to have like meeting with her every 2 weeks.
How often are you in your homes?
Every 2 weeks, sometimes every 3 weeks.
So you go every 2 to every 3 weeks,
yes,
to these two different homes?
Yes, because they have a hands-on manager that takes care of the home.
Whose certification's on the wall?
It's mine.
Who's ultimately responsible for the care rendered to the residents?
It's the caregiver on duty.
Let me help you.
We got a problem.
You.
Yeah.
So how many residents are being managed under your certification that you're not physically present for currently?
One is one resident, and the other one, they have 9 residents.
So you have a total of 10 residents that you check in on, according to your own testimony, every 2, maybe 3 weeks.
Yes, sir.
I take issue with that. I really do. I'm a certified manager, and I'm there physically present to oversee. And this is an ongoing issue in our state where managers are being paid to hang out a certification so a business can stay running. And I think it's an ethical issue. I know that our statutes do not have anything listed as far as hours that are mandated for you to be present, but in order for you to actually be a manager of a property, you should be at the property, overseeing the daily interactions with those residents and ensuring that the quality of care being rendered meets our statutes and DHS regulation. So I do take, I take serious.
I understand, sir.
Let me enlighten you as to what could happen. Let's say you make one of your visits that you make every 3 weeks, and then 2 days after you make the visit, something's really bad or something's happening or something. You won't know about it and for another 2.5 weeks when you make your visit, if they don't. The reason you have to be there is in case somebody doesn't call you or doesn't tell you or something's happening that you don't know about. And if it is, you wouldn't know about it for another 2 weeks. And I agree with Charles, that's not sufficient to ensure the safety of the residents who reside in the facility.
We had an agreement with the on-hand management.
I will tell you, I really frankly don't care about your agreement. You have an ethical obligation to those residents as a manager to be physically present. questions from the board?
No, I'm just trying to make like the comments, and you know, the reason that these regulations are in place is to try to ensure that somebody qualified is overseeing the day-to-day operations.
Yeah.
For vulnerable individuals, whether it be an assisted living facility manager or a nursing home administrator. It's a business that needs to be operated by the licensed or certified professional. And they need to be in attendance. How many hours? I can't tell you, but you've got to be there. Having almost 30 years of experience doing this, you've got to be there.
Yep, you do.
I have a real problem with this.
You do.
It's not a title, it's a job.
How do you feel as far as education? Because I think maybe the board can help her with some education as to what a manager is supposed to be doing.
When was the original certification?
November of 2011.
I think years ago. I think she needs some pressure bonuses. You just don't hang your license and walk away and every 2 weeks come back and check to see if you're still alive.
Right, no, yeah. you can't be a part-time operator. You've got to be
absolutely
responsible to
people's lives depend on it.
Yep.
That's right.
Guarantee.
Okay. Well,
just
you're
in all of that. You can't put your trust in an owner.
You can't.
Because,
or a caregiver.
Or a caregiver, because they're not necessarily present either.
Well, they're not. They're,
and it's not their certification or license.
Right.
So they have no buy-in on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to make a motion. So based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07B3, ARS 44610, AACR 433407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct in complaint number 19-32 involving manager Ma Grace Fernandez, and that the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate that stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $500. Complete a 40-hour manager training program with the executive director's pre-approval required and document completion. And successfully pass a state examination for managers administered by the board. Any costs of the probation or those of the certificate holder?
Second.
Charles and Wally.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Okay, next up on the agenda is case number 19-103 involving manager Jennifer Tonya. Good morning, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Joe, if you could outline the case, please.
Sure, this is complaint 19-103. Licensee is Jennifer Tonya, who's present here today. And on April 23, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at Emerald Groves Central, located in Mesa. Complaint investigation identified one deficiency in the area of administration. Ms. Tonya was noticed of the complaint and she did provide a written response. And on approximately June 6th of 2019, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $250. Now recently, on approximately October 3rd of 2019, I received a letter from Ms. Tonya concerning the results of an adult protective services investigation at the facility, and the note stated that ABS did not substantiate the allegations of exploitation and closed their case. I have made a copy of that for your file, and Ms. Tonya's here to discuss the matter with the board. You'll also notice that Ms. Tonya provided a copy of a statement of deficiencies with a plan of correction for a survey that was conducted at the facility. It really had nothing to do with this. It's just a separate issue. And all four of them say about it.
Okay, thank you so much. I guess my question would be, was the resident alert and oriented?
At times.
At times?
He had a cell phone that he could use, and he made frequent phone calls, he texts things, and yeah, at times.
And then you came into knowledge that there was probably a little bit more of a personal relationship going on between the...
Yes, I was talking, I have a manager on duty, I am a licensed manager, and I have a very capable manager on duty who's been with me 7 years now. And she became aware and communicated to me that there was some kind of improper conduct being mentioned on text phone messages between one of our staff members and this resident. Now, from time to time, I have had a favorite caregiver be invited to become a private duty attendant for a resident and come off of my work schedule and do some private duty hours. So that's not uncommon. But the text messaging between this resident and my caregiver sounded like it was getting a little bit fishy. It was, he was professing love for her, and he wanted her to come and be his private duty caregiver in a home that he claimed to have in Phoenix, which he does not have. And things were getting just a little too fishy for me, and so I terminated her. I came to find out later on that the family had written a letter to DHS to report their complaints about this caregiver. The letter, if you have that copy, indicates that the family is satisfied with the way our manager handled this. But they thought that by writing a letter to DHS that this woman's caregiver certification might come under a little closer scrutiny. Of course, that doesn't happen, but the investigator came to our community to find out what had we done within the family, what we had done with the employee. My defense to myself was I terminated her before anything could go any further. I have a copy of the statutes that says that I'm certainly responsible for reporting if on a reasonable basis I have reason to believe that something has occurred. I was not aware of anything that had occurred. I thought things were going in the direction that things might happen, so that's why I terminated her. My surveyor came in and looked at all of our material and simply told me that I'm responsible to report to the department and certainly APS and the police anything that makes me suspicious. I tried to find out from my surveyor, and none of these lessons are lost on me. I try to learn as much as I can. And I tried to pin down my surveyor to exactly what sort of things, what constitutes suspicion that is worthy of sending on to APS and the police. And I didn't get much information back, so I was kind of hoping that before I make up a form for the rest of my staff to fill out if they become suspicious about something, that I would learn how fishy does something have to smell before I forward on a request or report. I wrote a letter to DHS and I said a lot of things make me suspicious. I've got family members that bring in sugary sweets to diabetic residents, and so, I mean, are they trying to kill them? I have family members and neighbors that come in and say, Junior just bought himself a new car. I'll bet he's using up grandma's money. What are you gonna do about that? Does the DHS and the police want to know anything about that? APS did come in, and I have we're on very good terms with the family. They sent me a photocopy of the dismissal letter. I did try to get my own copy from APS and was told unless I had a court order or permission from the family, I couldn't get even a copy that just simply said the case was closed. So that door was shut to me. I called the police department, talked with the off-duty, non-emergency folks behind the desk there, and I said, what should I have done differently? Would you folks have been interested in this story and come out to investigate? And they told me no. So now I'm blind, other than just saying, which my surveyor wanted to hear from me, is that I should just simply report anything suspicious to DHS and let DHS decide whether it's worthy of investigation.
Let me ask you a question.
So that's kind of where I've left it.
How did you become... Where did you see the text message?
My manager told me, and the family came in from
How did she know about
Oh, the family must have went and looked at the text message in his phone.
Yes.
Okay, that's how it actually came.
And I'll be honest with you, it got blown up to where this resident ordered a cruise to the Orient to take his now new girlfriend caregiver with him. The family told me that he's always wanted to go there and probably made the reservations himself. So I do have on my cell phone an unanswered message from this caregiver begging for me to listen to her side of the story, which I have not answered. I think there was enough fishiness going on that my termination of her still stands. I don't really want to hear anything more. But my question to anybody that can give me an answer is, how fishy does something have to smell before I report it?
Well, you're not going to get an answer.
I know.
What you're going to get is DHS's opinion on any given day, depending on what mood the surveyor's in.
And I will tell you, my practice as a manager is if I even have a whiff that something may be going on, I spark an investigation and notify APS, because then you have an outside party that can hopefully impartially investigate. Board does not render advice to managers. I'm just giving you my own personal experience. I think that you did what you were supposed to do. You looked at it, you got rid of her, you worked with the family. Unfortunately, residents have the right to make bad decisions.
That's right. Let's just move on.
So as I said, this is not lost on me. I'm going to be reporting to DHS anything that
I would go that way.
I would recommend, when in doubt, you report it out. Anytime you feel that there's any suspicion of abuse, you have a duty under our regulations to report it to the Department of Health Services, and they can guide you in what direction you take from there, but that is the direction you should go.
For managers, I would tell you it's not DHS, it's APS.
Yes.
DHS isn't going to take your phone call. So I will move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 19-103 against manager Jennifer Tanya.
Tona.
Second.
Earl and Susan, have a roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Siemens. Member Siemens.
Sorry, aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, perfect. Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you. Next up, item number 29. On the agenda, case number 19-104, involving manager Maria Gonzalez.
This complaint 19-104. Licensee is Ray Gonzalez, who's present here today. And on April 18, 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at Golden Hope Adult Care Home located in Tucson. The complaint investigation identified 4 deficiencies in 3 different areas. Ms. Gonzalez was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a partial response, and staff was able to get some additional documentation as the investigation progressed. And on approximately July 17, 2019, DHS took enforcement action. They imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for 1 substantiated violation, that being residents were left alone with no employees on the premises. And Ms. Gonzalez is here today to discuss the complaint investigation with the board.
Perfect. Ms. Gonzalez.
Can I get the name of the person with her?
Sure. Sir, what is your name for the record?
Oh, I'm Mark. I'm her son.
Mark?
I'm the other owner of the care.
Mark Gonzalez?
Yeah.
So both of you own and operate and manage?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
What was going on in the facility at the time that all of this occurred?
The caregiver was, we had our trash cans stolen, so we paid for extra big trash cans, and basically they got stolen, somebody switched them off. One of our neighbors, we don't know who it was. So I asked the caregiver who was my dad, and I said, can you go to the neighbor's house and see if they've seen anybody switch them out? And unfortunately, you know, that was a bad mistake. He ended up staying there a little longer.
So who, let me go, you asked
the only caregiver to go check on this?
Yes.
Which in essence left no caregiver in the facility, right?
Well, he just took too long. He just took too long.
Just only answer the question that we've asked. While he went to check on this left no certified caregiver in the facility, right?
Right.
Was your mother there as the manager at this time?
She is the manager there, yes.
No, was she in the facility at the
time? No, she had broken her leg and
so who was at the facility while the caregiver that you sent somewhere was checking on something?
He went to the neighbor's house.
But nobody was in the facility then?
When the housemaid was there.
But not a care, they're not a
care. She's not a caregiver, no.
Were you there?
I got there eventually, yes.
No. See, I didn't ask if you got there eventually.
Okay, I wasn't there.
Okay, you weren't there.
Are you a certified manager in the state?
No.
No, so your mother is?
Yes.
Are you working on becoming a certified caregiver?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
Are you a certified caregiver?
Yes.
So you're working on becoming a manager?
Getting there, yeah.
Okay. And how long, Ms. Gonzalez, were you out of the facility due to your injury?
How long have I stayed? 3 days in the hospital.
Okay. How much time did you spend at this home?
Oh, well, I live there.
Oh, we all live there, so.
Yeah, we all live there.
Okay. How many residents?
At the time, or?
Yeah, at the time of the survey.
Two.
Two. So two residents were left unattended. We don't know how long.
10 minutes, 15 minutes.
You know, a lot can happen in 10, 15 minutes. Resident fall, gets hurt, place catch on fire. There's a lot that can happen.
Yes. And I explained that to my dad. And
so what about having someone help feeding residents that are providing direct patient care, direct resident care, that are not certified, that are not being overseen by a manager in direct supervision?
Well, I hired someone that with fingerprints. She's our maid, housekeeper, and I just hired her not too long ago, and she's got her fingerprints, so I'm gonna, had to make a change of, hiring somebody with proper fingerprint card, so.
So you have a housekeeper feeding a resident who's?
Well, she's an aide. I guess you can have her as a like an assistant when the caregiver's there, when there is a caregiver outside.
So as a caregiver, and I really should be asking your mom.
Yeah.
But as a caregiver assistant, it requires direct oversight, a direct line of sight overseeing that assistant caregiver at all times. No functions can be done with direct resident care outside of the sight of a manager or a certified caregiver.
So did you fire your husband?
We fired him and rehired him again.
Sorry.
She fired her husband and then rehired him again?
I think the mistake is that, particularly when people live in their own homes, that they're caring for residents, becomes very familiar, maybe too familiar, and stuff like that happens. You walk away. You have to vision it the same way as a toddler, a child. You wouldn't walk away from them for 10 minutes
right. And
leave them unattended, even if they were asleep, because they might wake up. Or what? And so, he can't do that.
I think he became too trustworthy with, the housekeeper that was there, so.
So if the housekeeper's providing direct care to a resident, Are you sending this housekeeper on to get certified as a caregiver?
Yes.
Is that current?
That's the new one, yes. I just hired a new housekeeper that has her fingerprint card, and I want to send her to school to get her certification.
And that's what you're wanting as well as the manager? Ms. Gonzalez? Are you involved in the oversight and the operations of this facility?
Yes. Are you watching when people, your employees, interact at all with one of your residents? Are you there to see how and what they're doing? And
yeah. And do you help train them?
Ma'am, you do have to verbalize an answer, not just nod your head for the record. So if you bring the microphone closer to you, so when you're asked a question, you have to verbally answer the question.
Okay. So you train? You help train new caregivers to come in? Who does orientation with a new caregiver?
I
do?
Okay. We work together. You know, it's a small house. It's a five-bedroom house, so we all work together somehow to, you know, get it right. So.
What are the medication troubles?
Yeah.
What are you doing to ensure that your residents are getting the medicine that they are required to have and you're documenting it?
And can the manager actually answer that one?
Yeah, and Mrs. Gonzalez needs to answer that because it's her license that's hanging. She's responsible for this. So does she understand my question?
I don't think.
Okay, can you say it again, please?
How do I phrase it? What procedure, how do you document, write down, how your residents are given their medicine, and if it is the prescribed dose at the prescribed time, how are you documenting all of that every day? Because obviously your residents get medicines every day.
Yes.
Are you doing it?
Every time they take a pill, you know?
A pill.
After that, we write.
We put it on the marks.
We put it in the marks.
And what happened with the medication mark was on the prescription, he had the nurse had it said on the top discontinued, and that's where the confusion came out. I misunderstood it. So
you were still giving the medicine and it had been discontinued?
It wasn't discontinued. He had written what he was supposed to be taking. So that was the mistake that I made. I thought he discontinued the whole medication completely. But when the surveyor was there, because I'm the one that spoke with the surveyor, we actually called him on, you know, in front of her. So. And he cleared it up about the medication. So.
But the medicines have to be accurate. There can be no mistakes,
yeah.
No omissions. I mean, that is life or death for a resident.
Ms. Gonzalez, were you present during the time of the survey?
No, I got an accident.
This all happened at the same time you fell and broke your leg, and you were going to the hospital, right?
Yes.
A broken leg, okay.
Yeah.
Only a surveyor would know how to come when you've broken your leg. I don't know how they do that. They also come when you're at the grocery store.
They are magical.
What's that?
Yes.
Oh,
my only concern would be about the medication.
Yeah, me too.
So I will move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 19-104 against manager Maria Gonzalez, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is that the manager failed to properly follow prescribed orders for one resident's medication.
Second.
Yeah, I agree. Who's second?
I did.
Wally's second.
Yes.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Hope your leg gets better.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, next up on the agenda is case number 19-94 involving manager Sharon Pritchard. Is it Sharon or Sharon?
Sharon.
Sharon, thank you. So, Phil, if you could outline the case.
Well, this is complaint 19-94. Licensee is Sharon Pritchard, who is present here today on March 8th, 2019, and March 13th, 2019. DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Apollo Rao, located in Glendale. Compliance inspection identified 6 deficiencies in 2 different areas. Ms. Pritchard was notified of the complaint and did provide a response, and it was noted that she had only been there as a part-time manager beginning on March 1st, 19 and ended July 31st, 2019. DHS took enforcement action on approximately May 23rd of 2019 and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 2 substantial violations. And Ms. Pritchard is here today to discuss the compliance inspection of the board.
Thank you so much. So, Ms. Pritchard, if I can just get to the guts of the case, sounds like you had a staffing issue. You reached out to a staffing firm for a certified caregiver. They sent you someone that's not a certified caregiver that meets NCIA regulation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
When you reach out to a staffing agency, what do you do to ensure that you're getting the proper one? Because there's DDD group homes, there are Article 9, there's tons of different caregivers that are out there uncertified.
Absolutely. So in this case, our owner reached out to the company and requested a certified caregiver. That is, has fingerprint clearance, CPR certified, and then caregiver certification. And so they were to fax over all of her information. However, they didn't fax it over. And of course, that day, the surveyor came. And when we went to verify the information, called the agency, they said, oh, we'll get it to you, and then determined that the form she filled out for fingerprint clearance wasn't the correct form, so it had never been submitted. She didn't have her caregiver certification. Nothing was correct.
Are you going to sue the agency?
The owner has.
Fine. Good.
Okay. Good. That's good. And so I presume this was an emergency, but
it was.
Caregiver, didn't call, or?
All those things, I couldn't reach her,
my children were sick, or any number of reasons why a caregiver doesn't show up.
Yeah.
They had a migraine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Had a hangnail, perhaps. Right. So there was an emergency, and the owner called staffing.
Correct.
Did you know the owner was calling staffing?
Yes, because the night caregiver called me to tell me that the day shift caregiver hadn't shown up, so I went through the directory and called some other caregivers to see if we could find coverage. And without luck, I let the owner know, and he was calling an agency.
I may have misunderstood. Did you say you were a part-time manager?
Correct.
What does that mean?
I don't know how that works.
Yeah. What does that mean to you?
So between myself and the owner, so I spent approximately 20 hours a week on site, and then he was on site the other hours.
Is he a certified manager?
He's not.
Whose certification hangs on the house? So then you're full-time?
Yeah, you're full-time. Mm-hmm. Whether you're there or not, you're full-time.
What are you doing differently? I know in long-term care, there's many times where a nurse isn't available and you call an agency. Prior to the nurse working, they have to submit TVs, nursing license, the fingerprint card. They have to submit all of that to the staffing department to ensure that that's what you're getting. What are you doing differently now if you have to use a staffing agency? Regardless of what the owner's doing, what are you as the manager doing before they touch one of your residents?
Absolutely. So we put in a process that they would need to bring that paperwork with them, and that I would be there to review the paperwork and ensure that they have all the proper certifications for the designee, which would be a caregiver designee, to review and make sure the certifications are up to date.
You're going to trust that with a caregiver?
To review the certification? Well, they're the designee, I mean. Well, if I can say, all of our other caregivers' files were accurate and current, and everything has been checked off and been in place. But I have, when we've had to use an agency again, I have physically gone and reviewed the packet and verified the fingerprint clearance card, verified the CPR.
Would there be a way to get that up front?
Well, I have asked if this can it be faxed over, can it be emailed over, and it seems like the practice is that the caregivers have it with them. The agency caregivers have a packet that they take with them. That's what I found. I'd love to have it in advance.
Are you still at the same facility?
I'm not.
Are you managing another facility?
No.
So you were only there 4 months?
Yes, and I was only there 8 days when we had the survey.
8 days. I'll make a motion.
Perfect, thank you. Save my breath.
I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 19-94 against manager Sharon Pritchard.
Second. Who wants it?
Fred.
All right,
Fred.
I bow the end of your turn. Okay, my dear. Get it, Fred. Now roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Siemens.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye. Motion carries. Next up on the agenda is complaint number 19-102. Jared Ayers. Good morning, sir, and thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Phil, did you wear deodorant today? You got everybody sitting over on the other table.
Oh, yeah, wear it every day?
isn't that on your ADL? You have somebody who signs off on that every day?
Get them off.
No, they pay.
Now they tell you. Yeah.
He's plus a nice guy. You can sit by him.
But they pay away. He uses that one that's good for 3 days.
it's a guy you don't want to make mad. I can tell you that.
Okay, Phil, whenever you're ready.
Okay, sure. This is complaint 19-102. Licensee is Gerard Ayers, who's present here today. Between February 19, 2019 and February 22, 2019, DHS conducted 4 assisted living facility complaint investigations at Copper Village Assisted Living located in Mesa. The complaint investigations identified 3 deficiencies in 3 different areas. Mr. Ayers was noticed of the complaint and he did provide his written response. And on approximately June 4, 2019, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $250 for 1 substantiated violation, and Mr. Ayers is here to explain the circumstances surrounding that complaint investigation. Floor is yours.
Oh, well, I had 3 listed online. Which one is that one recorded?
Well, only one got you here, and that's substantial. The one that sent you to enforcement.
Okay, so the one that you would be discussing would be the my failure to call APS regarding a complaint of suspected abuse.
Yeah.
So the situation on that is a hospice CNA had come in to do their visit and do a shower for a resident in Copper Village. I'm sure people are aware that we do memory care. And we also do memory care with challenging behaviors. That particular resident had a known behavior of stating that people were hallucinated, so he saw people in his room, that they were dragging him around the room and throwing him around the room, that sort of thing. The particular CNA that came in with that hospice and the caregiver working in that cottage had a history that I discovered upon investigation that long preceded Copper Village, and neither one of them working there. So essentially the CNA had come in, the resident was sleeping with a pile of pillows, quite a few pillows, and when the CNA got him up, he had a red mark on the side of his face, okay? I think everybody probably knows if you sleep up against something and get up, then you could have a crease there, especially depending on your skin condition. The CNA also stated that there were multiple bruises on him. Both the nurse and I went and took a look at the resident. We didn't see any bruising, and the red mark was gone by then. So we determined that his statement was just his condition. It's a known behavior. The hospice did send an email that day to document that that's what their CNA reported to them. And again, we did the investigation, and I didn't find any reason to determine that there was any type of abuse.
Were these residents' behaviors part of the care plan?
Yes, I believe they are.
Because that's a critical piece. If it's part of the care plan, you're acknowledging it and you're addressing it, and you've got a behavior plan in place.
Yes, sir.
Who's the management company for you?
Copper Sands.
Okay, so Cindy Leach is your boss.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And did hospice send out, because it's usually their practice, I'm in behavioral health as well, and it's usually their practice that they'll send out a registered nurse or a nurse practitioner to conduct an actual exam of the patient and give you a medical documentation of their findings?
They did not.
No? Might want to try a different hospice.
How was your last, because this has been a behavioral place for a while, right? How was your last full survey, regularly scheduled survey?
It was not good, honestly, not in my opinion. I started in November. At that point, I'm sure most of the board is probably aware of an incident that happened at that community earlier,
yes,
which caused the, I believe all of the management team to be dismissed or leave. They hired another out-of-state manager who came in. They were only there for 2 or 3 months and made a mess of everything, so it took me quite a few months to get everything back in line. And by the time when survey showed up in February, wasn't quite ready, so that's some things.
So how long had you been the manager when this particular incident happened?
3 months.
That's, so 3 months.
It's not a lot of time to start to put together.
Yeah.
Well, it's also the same issues before. It's like you did it internally with an outside agency, which was the hospice, decipher that nothing had taken place. So,
and it's documented as this is his behavior, you're dealing with behavioral health.
So if you call APS for something.
But I think you should call APS. I really do, and I'll tell you, because my husband has dementia. And I have that problem. And I want it reported if they suspect any abuse whatsoever, and let an agency take a look. Because while I appreciate you looking at it and the mark was gone, who's to say he wasn't abused? And I know it's a behavior issue, but to protect yourself, you need to report it to APS and let them do it.
Actually, I agree with you completely. We had a
over report.
Yeah, over report.
Well, it looks like you did try to, you said you did try to report it to APS, but they didn't receive it?
Yeah, they said they didn't receive it. Actually, on the following Tuesday, the APS surveyor, or the APS investigator that typically comes out, was there on a different case, one that we had called them for exploitation. And I asked her, and she said, well, if you have a service plan and it's a known behavior, then not necessarily, but that's your decision as a manager. So that's actually my attempt to make that complaint didn't work so well, because
but obviously as a manager, you believe even reporting anything to APS just to get it on record.
And if you're doing it online, I would even recommend printing out. It will give you the documents as it's been submitted.
That's what I was going to get to. Apparently, the computers at that facility are fairly old and they weren't updated, so APS couldn't receive that report, so I called it in. And since then, I've upgraded that computer to use, so.
So you got assigned it because it wasn't immediate?
Right, when the surveyor called me and said, well, APS doesn't have your report, that's when I called immediately and made that report, so learning experience.
You just can't be overcautious. I mean, this is so critical.
Correct, especially not in this community.
It really is.
It's quite a challenge.
It's a challenge even taking care of folks like that, but you have to be doubly careful in doing that and be diligent to report it.
That's why.
To protect you and the family. Mm-hmm. It's gonna come back after you if they do substantiate.
It also helps to build that rapport with APS and the other state agencies. They know now how you manage.
Mm-hmm. In this case, I don't see you doing anything.
No, he did report.
I'll move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation, dismiss complaint number 19-102 against manager Jared Pierce.
Second.
Charles and Ken. Now roll call.
Member Villafranca.
Aye.
Member Kidder.
Aye.
Member Randolph.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Seamus.
Aye.
Member Lewis.
Aye. Okay, motion carries. Okay, we're going to take a board will stand at recess for a 10-minute break. It's 11:12. We're back in session. Next up on the agenda is complaint number 19-83 to Rusia. I cannot pronounce your last name, please do.
Domo.
I'm sorry?
Domo.
Domo?
Yeah.
Okay. Domo. Thank you so much. And thank you for being here. Phil, if you could outline the case.
Okay, this is complaint. 19-83. The licensee is Teresita Domo, who's present here today. And on November 26, 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Symphony Assisted Living located in Denver. The compliance inspection identified 14 deficiencies in 7 different areas. Teresita was notified of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. However, it is noted that she was out of town and the caregiver was hired by the owner that facilitated some of the problems here. And on February 15th of 2019, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $2,500 for 2 substantiated violations. And Teresita is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Now is your time to explain your case.
I took over Symphony in September 2018. At that moment, they had only 2 residents, and the facility was owned by three owners. One of the owners was a nurse, the other 2 were caregivers. So I have my own group home that I've been managing for the last 6 years in Mesa. So when I took over, we were doing the change of ownership, and I was in the process of doing all that by the time the inspection came. And when they came, unfortunately, I wasn't there, I was out of town, but I had designated one of the owners and the manager designee that I was gone, who, with my knowledge, she's a nurse. She would have everything, but unfortunately, when the inspector came, she wasn't there.
So who was there at the time of the inspection?
The caregivers who they hired while I was gone the weekend. The part that I knew was working. They fired that caregiver and got 2 new caregivers without telling me they have hired new people. So we didn't have any documentation for these 2 caregivers. So when the inspector came, the 2 caregivers were not even in the facility. They went to get something on the mailbox, leaving the 2 patients by themselves in the facility. So when the inspector got there, rang the bell, nobody opened the door until they came and opened the doorbell. She was still waiting for that.
How did you come to know this?
I knew this at, I was called by one of the owners.
On the day of the inspection?
Yeah, they called me the day of the inspection because they knew I was out of town, so I couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And while we are working about this, checking ownership and doing all the paperwork, we had too many disagreements about who do this, who's gonna do this, about how we're gonna run the business. And yeah, that's why all this mess was there.
Did you write up your plan of correction back to the state?
Yes, I did do the plan of correction and was accepted by the Department of Health, and after that I did give my resignation letter, and since then I never went back there or any communication with them.
So it cost the owners $2,500, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Wonder if that's all it was. But they're not the owners anymore, right?
This, I believe, I'm not sure because we don't have any contact. I believe they still operate, but I'm not sure how or they changed the name. I don't know.
How many beds is this?
It's licensed for 5 at that time that I was a manager.
All right, thank you.
So when you were out of town for the weekend, who was the designated manager?
One of the owner, who she's a nurse.
Was she listed as a designee?
Yes, she was.
Okay. And she just wasn't there?
Yeah, she was. She came way later, like almost the end of the inspection.
But at the time that the surveyor arrived, no one was there.
No one was there.
No caregiver?
But they had, so they got rid of the caregiver that
I did terminate the caregivers when it came back.
And two others. And it took two people to go to the mailbox.
That was asking myself.
How far away was this mailbox?
So they
just showed up. They must have been right across the street watching. Two people left to go to the mailbox. Let's go ring the doorbell. Right?
Is that how it works?
It is how it works.
All right.
There's only...
I will move that if there are no further questions, I just move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation, dismiss complaint number 19-83 against manager Teresia Nunga?
Domo. This is right.
Domo.
Got it.
Second.
Charles and Susan. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries. That's it. Next up on the complaint case numbers are 19-105, Mercy Canada? Candy? Yes. Okay, Phil, when you have time.
Okay, this is complaint 19-105. Licensee is Mercy Kennedy, who's present here today. On May 6th of 2019, the police conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Mercy's Care Home 2, located in Chandler. Compliance inspection identified 10 deficiencies in 6 different areas. 4 of the deficiencies were BP deficiencies. Ms. Kennedy was noticed of the complaint and she did provide a response. On approximately July 1st of 2019, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 4 substantiated BP violations. And Ms. Kennedy is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Thank you so much. Ms. Kennedy, my first question is why the repeat deficiencies?
It was the tuberculosis and the closet. It's a different room that in the closet when it's a tiles, there's like a stopper in the bottom, that way the door won't swing.
Well,
it's just like a plastic.
So you repeat deficiencies. Sorry, we can get through this as TB. Not making sure everybody has evidence of TB. Your residency agreement regarding nighttime hours, who's awake, who's not. Medication administration is an issue again. And the tile issue.
In the closet.
Right, so those are your 4 items that brought you here. Why the repeat deficiencies in those 4 areas?
the medication part, my caregiver, I was training him that, you know, anything that he would accept from the pharmacy delivery and all the medication, write it down. He stated that the provider, that not nurse practitioner, was there that Friday and changed the medication order to the pharmacy and did not leave a new order. It was like electronic order. So the medication came on that Saturday morning. He wrote down all the medication in the marks and signed for Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, as the whole Sunday day, the surveyor came in the morning, which is Monday. When I came, I said, change the medication, the pharmacy delivered because of electronic order. And then I said, where is the order from the doctor? They supposed to fax it, but the surveyor was already there on the first thing on Monday at 7:45. So usually every Monday, I go and see what's going on during the weekend. I do come to the care home Monday to Friday, sometimes on the weekend if I get a call. Normally Saturday and Sunday, you know, I don't go to the care home unless I have to.
So the practitioner came in to see a resident, mm-hmm. and sent electronic orders to the pharmacy?
To the pharmacy.
Does your staff know or to take a... Right, that could be a verbal
yes,
order?
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one that I was really enforcing him that it doesn't matter if she said that change the order, I have a new order, even if in a piece of paper, let her write down and sign it, because they would send it electronic. Then you would have the medication. You write down the medication that you are given, and we don't have the order.
So you normally have 2 hours to produce documentation to your surveyor. You could have called the pharmacy and had them fax that over.
Yes, sir. I called the pharmacy, I'm on the phone, and the surveyor would always tell me, no, you do that when we're done. And it's the same with a lot of things in the pharmacy that I have to call. I even say, let me call the pharmacy. I can get the order, electronic order, and you know, some of the electronic orders you won't even
But what about your TB tests? Who does your TB exams for your staff and patients?
I have the Walker services that I call for all my TB residents. That incident on the TB was, one of my residents came from Brookdale rehab or assisted living. Anyway, I asked for all that documentation on the day before I was admitting her. I really, when they faxed that, there was a lot of documentation, a lot of papers, and pneumonia test, influenza and all that was already in mixed up with the paper. So for some reason, all of those was July 2018. For some reason, I really didn't see the TB test was mistaken for 2017. I don't know if it's when they type it, they got it wrong or anything, and then I just assume, because when I see all the documentation is 2018. One is the TB test was put in there for 2017. I was kind of like, how did that happen that they never had any TB test on the 2018? She came from Brookdale.
So what did you
so
do about that?
I really don't notice all of that until the surveyor came, and I was like, how could it happen? Everything's 2018, so. Because all the documentation is just on all the bunches of paper, and
so you assumed that Brookdale had it right, and they sent it everything else.
Yeah, Brookdale.
And that was.
Yeah, I assume Brookdale had it right because he has all her documentation on her record, and for some reason, with the surveyor, I mean, I was like, why?
What would you do differently now? What would you do differently now? You get a whole stack of papers.
Yes, what I do differently now is I would really get like only a separate paper for the documentation for a TB test, pneumonia and influenza, and just one piece of paper and to be signed by the provider wherever she came from. Because for some reason, I just assumed all of this documentation was coming together with everything else.
Have you changed your residency agreement?
Yeah, I changed the residency agreement a year when I got cited with about the weight stuff.
Right.
I was already using my new form of residency agreement. I had my residents that are 3 years, 4 years already with me, and they are on Altex. My mistake is I did not change a new agreement for all my old residents that I admitted back 3-4 years ago, because, you know, when they roll over to Altex, we follow the agreement from the Altex, but I know I have the private agreement when they were still private 3 years ago.
Okay. Did the surveyor suggest what to do? I mean, if it was a previous residency agreement,
that was the residency agreement that I got cited because of the awake stuff.
Right.
And then I have a new one that I already been using those agreement for all my new residents. So I have two that they've been with me for years.
So did the surveyor suggest that you take the
change the new one
and go back and have them sign a new one?
Yeah. Yeah, she's like redo all this old agreement because I got you this one the last year, but she's seen that the three of my residents that are new was already using the new form that it has a weight stuff that I got then with the old one that I didn't change for.
Have you done it since?
Yes.
And did you take down the doors, the closet doors? Or did you put some?
No,
it
was just a plastic. One of the residents had the electric scooter that banged into the closet, the swing.
Well, if we take out carpet, that plastic piece usually comes out.
Yeah.
So did you put a plastic guide back on the floor?
I had the handyman put a piece of tiles to hold it up, and then put the plastic to divide the two.
Do you still have the resident in the electric wheelchair?
No.
Did you have to do a lot of painting after they left?
Yes.
New doors.
I got that one. This is a different room. She got me in the other room a year before that, and then now it's in a different room.
They assume that if they say something one time, that you understand that it means everywhere.
Yeah. So I did a papers that telling the caregivers any maintenance thing, you know, fill up the papers if we have things like that.
So and then that comes to you?
So we can check any maintenance repair.
Are you responsible for making sure your fire drills,
your
smoke detectors, and all that's done?
The smoke detector, when the caregiver was signing that one, she put it over there with all her books of diabetic record and stuff, because I said, we've done this maintenance log, and time of the survey, we try to look and we can't find it, so.
Okay, I'm actually good with the recommendations of board staff.
Okay.
So based on the information contained in investigative report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07B3, ARS 44610AACR 43347A and B1, for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 19-105 involving manager Mercy Kennedy. and that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter before an informal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $250, 3 hours of continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval required, and documentation completion in the following areas: medication management, environmental standards, and residency agreements. Any costs of the probation or those of the certificate holder?
Second.
Charles and Fred.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Involving manager Angela Damian.
DHS conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Sunview's Estate Home Care 2, located in Surprise. Compliance inspection identified 7 deficiencies in 5 different areas. 2 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Now, on April 5th of 2019, May 6th of 2019, in July 19, 2019, staff mailed notices of complaint to Ms. Damian at the address of record that staff had for her. The notice was not responded to. However, the July 19, 2019 notice of complaint went to what is now her newer address of record on Solano Drive in Phoenix, and unfortunately a response was not provided to that notice either. Now, on January 22nd, 2019, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for 2 repeat substantiated violations. And Ms. Damian is here today to let us know where she resides and respond to the, or just answer questions concerning the compliance inspection.
Thank you so much. Whose responsibility is it to notify the board of your current address?
Mine.
And did you notify the board of your current address?
I haven't changed any address.
Never.
So
this,
I'm kind of confused here.
On the renewal process, there was a new address that wasn't available to me when the case was initiated. So I sent the complaint to the facility, I believe, because that was the address of record at the time I initiated the complaint. So she didn't get that, and the renewals, so I ran her and found this new address in Solano. I don't know why she didn't respond to that.
I haven't seen anything.
Can you ensure today before you leave that the board has your current address? So that
yes.
When we send you mail, you have the ability to receive and respond?
Absolutely.
And just so the board knows going forward, every notice of complaint will be followed up with an email. So we'll get a copy of the complaint via email as well as a hard copy mail to whatever address of record we have. And unfortunately, that's already started to get a little difficult with emails and such. But
will it have on the email the receiver has read it? where you can get a receipt. You can get a receipt that they've read it.
We can do that.
Yes, we can do a receipt.
Yeah. Then there's no question if they opened it or not.
So hopefully this
okay.
Should be.
So the two main issues that got you here was the medication issue. If I can get back up through all of these letters that we've mailed. Was the medication, somebody help me out. Medications and services that were provided to a resident were being documented. What about you, are you doing differently now to ensure that the meds that are ordered are being given as prescribed?
Yes, actually, at that time on one of the deficiency that was for the medication, it wasn't documented, and I did develop a form to remind me of everything that needs to be changed, any changes in medication and all that, and to fill out the forms, because actually that's where I was lacking. I just missed it.
How many residents are in your facility?
We're licensed for five.
Five? How often are you there?
Every day.
Every day.
I live in one.
Who does the medications?
I do.
You do. No caregivers, no med tech. It's you.
Yes.
So one other question I would have for you is, you seem as though you're very prepared for the case. If you didn't receive anything, how were you prepared for the case?
When I received, this is the letter that I received in the mail.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know of the emails, but I didn't.
So you received the letter, email, that just didn't respond to it?
No, this is the letter that I received for coming to the board meeting.
It's an invitation to.
And then I have here my deficiencies that I prepared from the health department and the enforcement meeting after I corrected the deficiency with the plan of correction. So I brought all my paperwork that I worked on the plan of correction. Because I didn't see, I apologize, I did not see anything.
July 19th. I mean, I'll just go pack it up to you.
Wow.
Back to you.
19th is sufficient.
That is the address of the facility, and this one is a locked box, the other one is not. And
so, how do you get your mail out of a locked box?
I can't imagine that I would miss it, anything like that, unless it was delivered of a different neighbor, which happened before. But I didn't receive it this one. Whereas,
any other questions from the board?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I did take some courses for the medication after that in January.
Do we have a record of that?
Education. Yes.
No, have you given it to the board? Does the board know you have done this?
No.
No, she didn't respond to the letter.
Do you have that there? Do you have it to show, Phil?
Yeah.
This one is for the second one.
Are those the ones you use for renewal?
Are these part of your
yes.
renewals?
Yeah.
And I
right.
took the medication
okay.
management course.
So based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07B3, ARS 44610, AACR 433407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct, complaint number 19-57 involving manager Angela M. Damian, and that the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, to state the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $250. 3 hours continuous education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completion in each of the following areas. Quality assurance. I think that'll help you to understand how to get this all managed. Medication management. And what was the... And service plans.
Well, the service plan included about being confined to a chair. Is there a part that they will be teaching what's appropriate?
I don't think that would be, but I do think that residents' rights would be.
Perfect.
So, okay. Medication management, quality assurance, residents' rights, and service plans. Any cost to the probation or those of the certificate holder?
Second.
Charles and Wiley. Al roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Seaman?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Thank you so much. Motion carries. Is Jill Maxwell here? Ms. Maxwell, are you present?
John Bora. Okay, and Ramona Johnson.
Item number 36, case number 19-100, involving manager Nathan Colford.
This gentleman is on stage, but I don't know anything specifically about this case other than the work I did once I was there to try to get them into compliance.
So it must have been perfect for the time he got there.
I was not afforded the opportunity to complete my tasks.
So you didn't get quite to perfection yet?
No.
I see some.
They did get some new policy and procedures.
Well, how long ago were you a manager there prior to them taking it over?
I think I was there right before him.
I mean, you probably have independent knowledge about the matter that the other board members don't have.
Perhaps true. I don't know when the survey was in relationship to after how long he had been there. So I'm happy to recuse myself.
You know, it's your decision, but it seems like
no,
you
I'm
might
not
have
happy to. Do I have to spell out the form?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so this guy, Melanie and Nina are here.
I am?
Yeah.
Melanie and Nina?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, so we still have a form. Susan's recused.
Phil, if you could outline the case.
Okay, it's complaint 19-100. Licensee is Nathan Colford, who's present here today. And on March 12th of 2019, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Visions Assisted Living at Apache Junction 1, located in Apache Junction. The compliance inspection identified 12 deficiencies in 5 different areas. Mr. Colford was notified of the complaint and it did provide a response. It was noted in his response that Mr. Colford informed staff that the facility had gone through 3 different facility managers in 2018, and that the survey that was conducted in March occurred just 4 months after he had been hired on as the facility manager. And on approximately June 24th of 2019, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for four substantiated repeat violations. And Mr. Colfer is here today to discuss the matter.
Thank you for being here today, and thank you, Phil. Okay. Mr. Colfer, you took over in December. The survey was in March.
Mm-hmm.
And how big of a facility is this?
So the actual building that license has 16 beds, but the whole campus is 56 beds.
So 56 beds. Is there a, what's the management structure look like? Is there a business office manager, a director of nursing, that sort of stuff?
We have a business office. We did have a business office manager when I got there. We have a nurse that is there, and caregivers and med techs.
So when you took over the property, what was your immediate response? I'm sure you looked to see what was going on before you took over. What was your plan of attack?
So I was off of the building and then I looked at it. And so I took it, pulled up the regulation and looked at the regulation that the previous year there were 19 deficiencies. So I met my business office manager that was there for the whole year 2018, sat down and did an audit, see what was missing and what's not missing, and there was a lot of things missing. So knowing that the survey from the previous was there on December 27th, I'm thinking I got 3 weeks to do something. And I wasn't about to go backwards and clean up the mess. I was going to go forward. And so I started implementing a lot of things that we do carry out today according to our plan correction that I submitted that got approved. When the survey came in, and finally when she came in March, she was only interested in what happened in 2018. She wasn't interested in the fact that what I had done January, February, March to make some of these changes already. She just wanted to see 2018.
That's not good.
It's not.
She was supposed to
look the whole year, do the full survey.
And obviously, he wasn't there in 2018, so I don't know what he was supposed to do about that anyway.
And I don't know how you're going to clean up a facility with 19 major deficiencies in all these different areas.
And man, she had only got a start after 3 months.
He's
out
there in 3 weeks and he just couldn't do anything.
Yeah, not his fault.
Are you still there?
Hmm?
Are you still there?
I'm still there, yes.
You making progress?
Yes.
Think the next survey is going to go better?
A lot better. Since I know that, I mean, the surveyor, I mean, I've been through a lot of surveys through the state and just building. I was kind of interested, I was kind of thrown off when the surveyor didn't want to see anything that we already approved on.
Welcome to Arizona.
Welcome. I feel welcome.
Did you have hair when you took this job?
I had a lot more hair. Now it's turning white.
That happened.
Yeah.
All right, I'll make a motion. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of violation and dismiss complaint number 19-100 against manager Nathan Colfer.
Second. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye, Benina.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Good luck.
Yes, it's time to come back to work.
So is your business office manager still with you?
Sir?
I don't work here full time.
Is your business office manager still with you?
No.
Okay. Thank you. It's all one now.
So we have to go back and hear the ones that aren't here?
That's correct.
Okay.
Looks like we're going back to
37.
Oh wait, is 37 here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, I hit the circle. Case number 19-53. I will not even attempt the name. I do apologize. If you could come forward and just state your name for the record, please.
Say it three times.
Yes, I wrote the Libra coordinator.
Thank you so much. Phil, if you could outline your case for us, please.
Okay, this is complaint number 19-53. Licensee is Mr. Warren Berry, who's present here today. And on November 8th, 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Cedar Pastures, located in Chandler, Compliance inspection identified 14 deficiencies in 12 different areas. Three of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Mr. Ron Berry was notified of the complaint, and he did provide his written response. Now, on approximately January 8th, 2019, DHS took enforcement action and posted a civil money penalty of $750 for the three substantiated repeat violations. Mr. Ron Berry is here today to discuss the matter with the board and explain how it might relate to another facility that he manages.
Okay, let's hear it.
This the survey that came almost at the same time. So the deficiencies that they have there, they range from some minor things based on the staff who had the house at that time. In one of the houses, especially this one.
So just so I understand you, right, you have two homes?
Yes.
And they were both at each home at the same time?
Almost, yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. I didn't have a chance to correct the deficiencies. The one I got to one house, the same one I got to the second home. So I already correct all of these deficiencies, and I put the plan of correction together and submitted to DHS. They have accepted that, and all the deficiencies also have been corrected.
So what are you doing about a quality management program?
The quality management program, we have created the way we're going to be monitoring our quality management. We have a monthly checklist that we do go through with the caregivers and staff, and we have a weekly ones also. And we do have the report every day to check on how the residents are doing and everything that is going on in the facilities.
How much time are you there in each facility?
I am there every day. It's 3 hours every day for each facility.
So 6 hours total that you spend managing every day?
Every day, yes. I am almost there about 10 hours. The other hours I spend outside doing other things also.
How long have you been at that home as the facility manager?
Since 2016, I believe, June.
So the repeat deficiencies were under your watch before?
They were, I would say that it was a mistake. Some of the things that were being asked, it was the caregiver who was at the house at that time, and not to provide that, and I didn't reach the facilities on time to be able to provide.
Within the 2 hours?
Correct, yes. Yes.
Were you present, and if so, when did you show up for the survey?
I came, I found the survey was almost going outside the house. I was at the VA hospital with another resident, so I couldn't leave the resident at the hospital.
You were with a resident at the VA?
Yes.
Okay. For an appointment?
For an appointment, yes.
Okay. So, what about, who does your TB test for residents and staff?
We have a nurse who does our care plan. She's the one who does the TB test also, and the flu shot sometimes, but sometimes flu shot we go through the doctors that sees the resident. And also, after the survey, we have hired a LPN who come and help also. He comes every other Saturday in each facility to be able to go through all the documentation regarding the medication and the TB test as well to see everything is on time.
Because that's a repeat deficiency for you again, is the TB. So how are you gonna ensure this board that it won't be a third deficiency?
I'm sorry to cut you off. Yes, the TB was there, and again, it's one of the documentation that I wasn't being able to get there on time to provide to the survivors within the 2 hours. So the caregiver couldn't find where it was.
Do you have the papers now, or if the survey walked in today, can you find them?
Oh yes, and all the stuff in the houses now, they know, and it's something that I keep reminding them, if the survey has come, this is where you look for the important document that will be needed.
Okay.
And if I can add to this, first time I was here for the other facility, and which was this year, I took all the classes that you have recommended me also.
Did you use those courses to help you get your manager's recertification?
Yes.
This is from Nor, Lieutenant H, from June 8th of this year for personnel requirements. So he had to take, he had a consent agreement on the other facility for a lot of the same deficiencies that are locked up at this facility. So it seems like it could be in two places.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? All right,
so he's already got a consent agreement dealing with similar items.
Did you complete that consent agreement? Was that consent agreement for the other facility completed?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Yes, it was. Okay.
Perhaps you need one for this one then.
So these surveys happened, you said, right about the same time?
Yes, it was about a month in between.
Okay.
I had not even get a report from the DHS yet for the customer when this one happened.
Has the DHS been back to either one of these facilities to revisit?
Not yet.
Phil, from what you see, then you think they're the what you completed in the other consent agreement, you say covers most of the areas here?
Yeah, pretty much. And that's why the recommendation was what it was, because I couldn't
figure
out what the trees.
Okay. I should want to increase that recommendation. You'd be good with it?
Yeah.
Okay. Based upon the information contained in investigative report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07B3, ARS 44610AACR 433407A and B1, for unprofessional conduct, and complaint number 19-53 involving manager
Luca Vera.
Thank you. And that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter before the formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate to stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $500 and any costs of the probation or those of the certificate holder.
Seconds.
Okay. Charles and Ken. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Now we'll go back to school.
We also have Tiffany Norris here.
Excuse me.
Okay, we can skip there and just go back to the because I have to recuse myself on this meeting.
Okay. I need a little clarification on the consent agreement. It was just $500 for civil money penalty, or was it
reimbursement of investigative costs
without any probationary period?
There was a probation of 3 months. To pay that reimbursement cost. Would you prefer that we change that to a civil money?
I think it probably should be, since there really isn't any probation to cover reason for the cost.
Okay, then I make a motion to rescind my previous motion.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph? Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Okay, now I'll make a new motion. That based upon the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07B3, ARS 44610A, CR 433407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 19-53 involving manager Rigobaro. Thank you. And that the board offer consent agreement to be signed within 10 days of the matter before the formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate, the state of suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. A civil money penalty in the amount of $500.
To be paid within?
To be paid within 3 months.
Second.
Charles and Wally, roll call.
Thank you all.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Perfect. Motion carries. Thank you. Thanks for keeping me on my toes.
You can just call me Fred.
Let's go skip down to item E.
Does the board understand why that is?
Yeah. Okay.
My mistake.
No.
E41, board of review pursuant to terms of probation, Tiffany Worley. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Okay, this is Tiffany Worley, who is now a manager with a certificate number 11604. In terms of the consent agreement, and during the October 15th, 2018 board meeting, the board offered Ms. Worley a consent agreement for her manager application as a condition of her application process of becoming a certified assistant facility manager. One of the terms of the consent agreement required Ms. Worley to attend one NCIA board meeting every quarter. She was here today to discuss with the board her progress in fulfilling the terms of the consent agreement and her development as an assistant facility manager, and today is her last mandatory attendance.
Perfect. I remember it very, very well. How are you?
Pretty good. To be honest, like at all the meetings I've come to, like I've learned a lot of stuff since I've been coming here, and every time you guys ask me how things are going, I always say it's going great. The last 2 months have been really difficult.
Okay.
Besides, like, my grandson passed away September 8th.
Sorry.
2 weeks after that, car accident happened, total loss of my vehicle. But I just wanted to assure you that, you know, that I still picked up the pieces, moved forward. I had to fire an employee, and then I lost 2 pregnant staff members at the same time. And I run 2 homes, so thankful and blessed for the team that I do have, because I've been working 3-4 shifts a week on top of the manager's duties. And also my team has been pulling 5-6 shifts a week along with me, so like I have a steady team. I was inspected at one home, Starfish Midtown B, by the surveyor, I think it was September 20th or 23rd. I have not gotten any reports back. When she came to the home, she, you know, did a walkthrough. I wasn't on premises right at that time, but my staff called me right away. I came to the home, and we did. She was already looking through, like, the, you know, the files, because my staff, you know, guided her through, pulled out the things that she wanted. She did a walkthrough of the house with me. All cabinets were locked, because every resident's room there has a half bath, so they're, you know, to keep the cabinets locked in there. She did a walkthrough, talked with a few of the residents, sat down with me. I think the one thing she had given me kind of, and it might be just like a technical assist, she kind of, because we're an electronic med system that includes like our ADL track cam thing, she kind of had asked me to like make a little more special, like, you know, make sure I'm putting like the extra like oral care, the showers, you know. And then I actually added mobility assistance to mine, which is for the staff has to sign off every 3 hours if they have at least stood up somebody and walked them, or, you know, have moved a bedbound patient. So I've added that all into my care tracking. I did a night shift one night, and that's when it's like mostly peaceful because everyone's sleeping, and I sat down on my computer and did like 8 hours of just changing everybody's. So I have no deficiencies that I know of. There was one thing that I did that drove me insane. I misplaced one care plan. I was able to provide that to her while she was on the premises because the care plan nurse, you know, refaxed it to me that we actually had done it. So if anything, that may be the one thing I get a ding for, but other than that, there wasn't anything else.
Great job.
So that's running 18, you know, only 10 per home, but it was at the time when she came with 18 residents that I was managing. So things have been rough, but I pick my head up and I move on. And I know in the beginning, the main reason why you guys wanted me to come is because you were worried about my sobriety, and you're worried about like how I was going to handle things. And I would say these last 2 months have been very, very difficult, but I'm sober. I'm here. I go to work every day, and I hit the floor just like the rest of my team does. And I just wanted to come and say that. I didn't mean to come and spew all my problems, but life has been difficult. You know, I've just been through a tragic death, and it seemed like everything just hit all at one time. I lost 4 staff members.
It's
like,
never the failures that define you. It's how you beat yourself up. Yeah. We've all made mistakes in our past.
Are you going to meetings?
I don't. I've been sober 9 years. When these guys have met me, I had been to prison for 2.5 years. When I got out of prison, I fought really hard to completely change my life around. I've never been about meetings. When I used to attend meetings years and years and years and years ago, I always felt more of an urge to use when I would sit in a room with people to talk about using. It doesn't work for me. So I don't attend meetings, but I do see a therapist on a regular basis, like twice a month, just for my own self. In this field, you deal with a lot of things. You deal with grief on a daily basis, you know, people passing away, people you love. So I do that just for my own sanity. I stay healthy, and I go to the gym, I exercise, I do, you know, when I have time. So I just wanted to come in and share that with you that I am in a good place, even though there's been tragic this last 2 months, and then losing 2 pregnant staff members, you know, and firing one, and then a lot of shifts that had to be covered and juggled, and I didn't have a car for like 4 weeks, but I have to do Costco shopping, so I had to rent a car for 2 weeks until I got a new car. So now I'm in a brand new car, and I love it, and I just wanted to say that everything that could have possibly like punched me in the chest, I've overcome. And like I have an amazing team. I really, really do.
So is today your last day to come and see us?
Yeah, so I wanted to just come and share. Congratulations. That was the main concern. It was, you wanted to know how I was going to manage and deal with the stress of all this, but it's not breaking me down.
I think you've proven
it.
You keep proving it to yourself.
Oh, I do. Every day. I am very blessed, and I appreciate the opportunity you guys have given me to prove that.
Perfect.
Do we vote, or is that just...
Do you need a motion for us to terminate the probation, or
I'll do it.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. Good
take care of yourself.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Thanks for everything, you guys.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
Good luck.
Is Susan present? Wolochowski?
Wolochowski.
Okay. Can we go back to number 26 on the agenda item, case number 19-45, Ramona Johnson? So do you have any reason as to why we should hold this over for next month and not hear it today?
No, I don't think she's going to come. She doesn't think she was a manager. This is another one of the... Let me present it.
Sure, please.
Claim 19-45, licensee is Ramona P. Johnson. And on September 11th, 2018, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Otelia's Home Care located in Glendale. Compliance inspection identified 12 deficiencies in 7 different areas. 6 of the deficiencies were repeats. Ms. Johnson was noticed of the complaint and did not file a response. She did talk with me and said that she wasn't the manager. However, there were an awful lot of deficiencies and there were an awful lot of repeats. And even though she was out of the facility, some of the deficiencies could probably be attributed to her at the time she was there. Now there's another lady who's coming in to become manager, who's currently running the facility, who may be responsible for some of the newer deficiencies. So I think Ms. Johnson is saying, hey, you know, I left 6 months before the survey. I told her that may be, but you were the manager prior to that, and you may have been responsible for the earlier deficiencies. But she still didn't provide a response and kind of gave me the impression that she was not going to attend today's meeting. Okay. So again, we've got a bunch of deficiencies in at a facility where a couple of different folks managed it. Who did what and when?
So at least six deficiencies while she was manager there.
Right. There were six that you could potentially just go ahead and say it had to be her.
Mm-hmm.
And all we need is preponderance of the evidence.
But she DHS did not forward a complaint on the October 7, 2017 survey, did they?
I think you should ask. Yes, they have. I think I've opened another case on the current manager.
But was there? Did we get anything back in 17 on this manager?
I don't know.
So you're asking the question, does she own these repeats? Maybe she corrected them and then the repeats took place again.
Yes, I mean, because if DHS didn't forward a complaint, then it's stuff. You know, maybe it was just stuff and it wasn't anything big, but now we have another survey and we have more deficiencies. And she has been gone for 6 months. A lot can happen in a few months.
But had they done an inspection and forwarded something in 2017, then you could establish a pattern.
Right. If DHS didn't file it.
Was there something in 2017?
We have a prior discipline action.
I understand that we can't really look at that.
Okay.
To weigh as an evidence.
Involving this matter.
My question is, if there's already been a complaint on this survey, right, we don't need to do it again. If we've already taken action.
We've already done it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the prior complaint is for this facility or this lady manages just pages and pages of places she's been at.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you can't really manage if you're just going to keep moving.
Yeah. I think she owns some of these, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Make a motion for voluntary surrender.
Okay. So there is a motion that has been made.
She hasn't responded to the board.
Would you like to go through the whole thing?
Yeah.
I know there's a lump there. It's all the places she's been.
It's as bad as Fred.
Did she seem to have any consideration that she needed to still come here and
discuss this? No, she said she wasn't the manager, and I said that's fine, but you still need to come to the board meeting.
She didn't know.
She's not here.
Okay. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, would the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446.10, R433, 407, A and B1 for a professional conduct and complaint number 19-45 involving manager Ramona P. Johnson. Could the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing? The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Voluntary surrender of certificate.
Second. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next up on our agenda, number 35, is complaint case number 18-199 involving manager Julie Maxwell. Bill, whenever you're ready.
Okay, it's complaint 18-199. The licensee is Julie Maxwell, who was invited. She wasn't invited. Oh, it's another mess. On February 27, 2018, DHS conducted two assisted living facility complaint investigations at Family Home Care House of Treasures located in Glendale. Mm-hmm. Complaint investigation identified five deficiencies in three different areas. Ms. Maxwell was noticed of a complaint did not respond. Now what happened here is staff had support staff contact the owner to try to identify who the manager of record was, and after numerous conversations with the owner stated that Ms. Maxwell was the manager. Maxwell stated that she had, we talked on the phone, and she said she had been the manager in the past, but she hadn't managed at the facility at all in 2018. She used to fill in occasionally, but has not been the manager of record for years at the facility. She has no idea why this Ms. Harris, the owner of the facility, had identified her as the manager. In any event, Ms. Maxwell's manager's certificate expired at the end of June.
And she's not renewed.
No. DHS took enforcement and imposed a $500 fine for one substantiated violation, manager's failure to ensure a personnel record included documentation of CPR or first aid.
Okay. So we just need to dispose of this case. Perfect. I'll move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 18-199. Against manager Julie R. Maxwell.
Second.
Now, roll call.
Who was the second?
Fred.
Okay. Soft spoken.
Although, member Campbell raised her
hand. Yes.
Not at all.
You raised your hand, or did you verbalize it?
She said second.
I didn't vote.
And you said, who was it?
Oh.
She raised her
hand. All I heard was Fred.
Okay.
You're bad at
it. It's okay.
Member, Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randall?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Okay, motion carried. Next up is item number 38, complaint number 19-91, involving manager John Bora.
This is a fingerprint case, complaint 19-91. It's John Bora, who was invited to today's meeting. He's not here. And on July 1st, 2019, staff initiated this complaint after receiving Mr. Bora's recent renewal application for his manager certificate and discovered that his fingerprint clearance card had become valid, possibly as a result of an arrest in March of 2018 in Peoria, Arizona. Ms. Bora failed to notify the board that his fingerprint card was invalidated and that he had been arrested or charged. Notice of complaint was forwarded to Mr. Bora. He did not respond, and on June 30th, 2019, his manager's certificate expired. And his card is still invalid as of today.
Do we know where he might be?
I have no idea.
Okay. Based upon the information contained in investigative report, I move that the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36446.07, B3 ARS 44610, AACR 433407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct, and complaint number 19-91 involving manager John F. Barora. Oh, is it the fingerprint one?
Yeah.
It's the fingerprint one, right?
Yep.
Okay.
So is it suspended?
Well, it's not renewed.
Not renewed.
Based on
Yeah, so I'm doing great. Fresno Conduct and Complaint Case Number 9.
So I'm sorry, he was, he's expired as a certificate holder, and he doesn't have a fingerprint clearance card.
Do you want me to dismiss this without prejudice in case he does renew?
You can do that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That might be easier.
He would still have to get a valid fingerprint clearance card, and he would still have to do all the manager and caregiver training if it's not current.
Okay, perfect. So can I just make a motion to dismiss without prejudice? Dismiss complaint number 19-91 involving manager John Barrera without prejudice.
I second.
Perfect. This way, if he does, I'm assuming we can recall this case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's a motion and a second. Roll call.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next on the agenda is item C-39, and I will recuse myself on this case.
Today's case is Ridgecrest Healthcare. Phil. There are several problems with this facility and what they did to these folks. This case needs to be opened, and we need to get into it.
Okay.
Because there's a problem in there.
Was that your
motion?
Oh, yeah.
I move that we open this case and investigate. Okay, a second. Discussion. Hearing none, we'll take it to a vote.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Charles is coming back up. We move on to tab 40, complaint 19-24, Susan Wilichowski.
Case complaint 19-24, licensee is Susan Wilichowski. And on September 5th of 2018, DHS conducted an on-site assisted living facility compliance inspection at Circle of Life LLC 2, located in Prescott. Compliance inspection identified 33 deficiencies in 10 different areas. On November 21st, 2018, DHS took enforcement action and posted a civil money penalty of $500. For one substantiated violation, that being the manager failed to ensure that before providing services to a resident, a caregiver provided current documentation or first aid training for one of the three sample caregivers. Now, during the course of this investigation, staff learned that Ms. Wilichowski and Ms. Sherry Norcutt both managed the facility in 2018. Another manager, Leanna Reyes, also assisted as a manager of the facility during 2018. Ms. Reyes' manager certificate expired on June 30, 2019. Ms. Norcutt is no longer working at the facility, and Ms. Wilichowski ended her employment at the facility in June of 2018. As a result of the several different managers managing the facility in 2018, it would be difficult to determine which manager was responsible for which deficiencies, and although numerous deficiencies were identified, only one was substantiated. Staff recommends this case be closed and no further action be taken. Since there is a question concerning the manager, who would have been responsible for the majority of the deficiencies?
All right, I'll make a motion to close.
Second.
Is that Fred again?
Yeah, it was Fred again. No, Ben.
Give it to our esteemed president because he hasn't done much else for me.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Waller.
Aye.
Did you cough or sneeze or what?
She said Wally.
It's my name.
I'm here to verify that Wally is her name.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, item number seven.
Isn't it amazing that the surveyor can take the time to write 33 deficiencies and they can only substantiate one? That's crazy. Amazing. Sorry, thanks for the interruption.
7A, consent agenda to approve temporary administrator's license, permanent manager, administrator's license, temporary manager certification, permanent manager certification, any passing all required examination within a substantial timeframe or license certification will be denied.
We have one thing on that.
What?
If you don't mind.
I ask that the board members please remove Christina LaFontaine from the temporary manager certificate section.
Is she going to be permanent then?
Yes, she's there for permanent.
All right.
Okay, so removing Christina LaFontaine from temporary manager's certification as she is in the permanent manager's location. With that being addressed, I will make a motion to approve all.
Second. My name
is Ken. Oh, Fred. Charles and Fred. All in favor of the, oh, wait, no.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next is individual board review. Doesn't look like we have anything there. Move to section C, individual board review consideration and action to rescind prior approval of temporary manager certification. Item number 45, Karen Valetti.
Valerie?
Yes, would you like me to read the memo, please?
Okay.
Okay.
Just for the record.
Sure. On June 10th of 2019, Ms. Karen Valetti applied to become a permanent and a temporary assisted living facility manager. Her application was administratively complete on July 31st of 2019. She was put on the August 12th, 2019 agenda for approval of the permanent and the temporary manager certificate. She did not qualify to obtain the temporary certificate, and she was put on the agenda in error by myself. Board staff recommends that her approval of the temporary be rescinded.
I'll make the motion to rescind the temporary certificate.
Second.
That's Charles and Fred again, or Ken.
Ken again. Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
They both said aye.
They both said
did
aye.
Did you write a plan of correction that error that you made?
I didn't.
Not to them.
Yes. Yes. Those are.
Moving on to number assisted living facility training programs. Consent agenda to approve assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs and renewals of assisted living facility caregiver manager training programs. I would make a motion to approve all.
Second.
Fred, second.
Charles and Wally.
Second.
It's Charles and Wally.
Member Villafranca?
Aye.
Member Kidder?
Aye.
Member Randolph?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Wally?
Aye.
Member Siemens?
Aye.
Member Lewis?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Next is item number 9, other business. It doesn't look like there's any that's listed. Moving on to number 10, administrative matters, financial reports.
At the end of September, the board's ending fund balance was at $451,263. Which is about about 1% above projection right now. As far as expenses, we're about $3,200 under our estimated budget, proposed budget. So we're right where we need to be on our expenses and also on our revenues.
Okay. Complaint status report.
Got to all of them today, plus the one with Mrs. Wojcicki. So we took care of 18 today. I've got about 18 done for next month and working on December's.
Nice. Licensing report.
I need the microphone. For the assisted living facility managers, our count is 2,096. With 19 of those holding a temporary certificate and 17 of those are inactive. For our nursing care administrators, our count is 338. We don't have any temporary administrators currently, and we have 22 inactive.
Okay. Legislative updates.
There's no legislative updates. The session won't start until January. As far as the rules update, I filed for the final rulemaking notice on the ones the board approved, 4 months ago. They've worked their way through right now. The GERC hearing, I think, is December 8th. This is the one that changed some of the rules affecting, because we're using Salesforce now, the electronic stuff, we had to change some of the rules to update or to correct some of the things in because we do use the licensing now. And also the reciprocity on administrators was changed.
Okay. And so with the rules update, you would need me to appoint 3 individuals.
This would be on the new rule package that we'll need to open regarding the caregiver training, which is Article 7.
Would you need me to appoint 3 people?
Yes, please.
Okay, so I will appoint Kim, as it deals with some administrators as well, Charles and Susan, to that committee. Okay, next on the item is training program report.
Right now we have, I believe, 48 caregiver training programs. And let me pull it up here.
There's a lot.
There are quite a few, yes.
Did you get it?
I did.
Okay.
I just need to be able to read it. Of the 48, in this last year, we've had 2,394 people take the exam for the first time with an 80% pass rate. And those that took it a second time, there were 348 with a 45% pass rate on that. Manager training programs, there's 14. There were 379 people that took the manager training with a 78% pass rate. And 65 took it a second time with a 71% pass rate. So people are passing.
Okay. Next on the item is board meeting critique. Thank you all for your service. I appreciate you being here. It's a pleasure to serve with you. I know with the passing of Member Hasselton, I think making quorum every month is, you know, most important because the members on this board we represent, I think it's a privilege for us to be here and to be able to serve and do what we do. And our presence is absolutely requested. I appreciate your all your hard work and allowing me to work with you.
One thing I might mention as far as the next meeting, it's going to be on Tuesday, November 12th.
Tuesday, November 12th?
That's correct. So next on here is the future agenda items and meeting dates. The next regular meeting of the board will be held Tuesday, November the 12th, 2019, at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona, at 9 a.m. Hearing nothing further, board is adjourned. It is 12:50.